are now open.
Blog Talk
if there was
Radio.
Something you wanted to talk about earlier and we weren't able to cover it, or we didn't get to it, or we didn't get to your call, or whatever the case might be, this will be your opportunity to give us a call back now. And you can definitely check with us here and let us know what you think, because it's important that those of us who do claim, at least, to understand what's going on, we have to be like the Jehovah's Witnesses. I know that seems like a wacky comparison, but I mean it. We have to be like the Jehovah's Witnesses because they are persistent. You know, the reason that Mimi's sex tape is everywhere is because the ratchets and the hood rats and the dumb people will sit up here and repost her stuff and repost it and talk about it and re-talk about it. That's what they do. They don't whine or complain about it. They are part of her marketing apparatus. All the people on Twitter who reposted her meme that she made, they were and are part of her marketing apparatus. And what I'm saying is that for those of us who are talking about something sensible and you say, hey, you know what? They're talking about this stuff. They're talking about it in an intelligent way. Hey, but we need to do the same thing. Stop complaining about what the ratchets and the hood rats and the rest of them are doing. And let's start talking about what we're going to do. Now, if I don't get any phone calls, I'll just wrap things up and whatnot. But just to let you know, I've gone ahead and opened up the phone lines. So definitely, if you want to call in, this will be your opportunity to do so. And you can speak to me and Mona Lachey. And this will be important because understand something. I'm 37 years old, okay? Let me just say it like this, y'all. I'm 37. I've got mine. I've got mine. Most of the most eligible males, I've got access to them. I'm not emotionally deficient, don't have any mama issues, daddy issues, or anything else like that. But what I'm concerned about is that I don't see a wealth of people who understand how to get into that position and how to deal with that. I mean, they think they do, but they really don't. And that's why we have so many issues and so many problems now. A bunch of people who think they know what's going on, but in reality, they really don't know. I was watching online, there was some people earlier today. They were arguing with each other over, they were putting down Kenyans. Now, I think some of these people were Nigerians, and they were putting down Kenyans. Talking about Kenyans were haters and so on and so forth. See, you thought that East Coast, West Coast stuff was just confined to the United States, and it's not. It's not. You thought idiotic conversation was just confined to the U.S. It's not. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's not confined to just here. The same conversations that you all are having in the chat rooms about gold diggers and women just want you for your money and stuff like that, that's the exact same arguments, not just conversations, the exact same arguments that they're having right now on those boards. That's the exact same thing. Exact same thing. No changes. And who's talking about it? Who is actually dealing with this in an intelligent manner? Well, we are. You don't see me sitting up here trying to bust off a bunch of street slang and whatnot. I'm trying to talk to people in a level-headed manner and just say, you know what? Let's talk to each other brain to brain. Let's not just sit up here with a bunch of people with a bunch of planes. Let's actually talk for a change. Let's have that. You might get something out of it. Those of you who are younger, because understand, your mama didn't give you the game. And your daddy most likely wasn't even there to give it to you. And you've got a man and woman on the phone in Mona and TBA who will sit down here and say, hey, let me speak to you for a minute because you got the game backwards, upside down, and twisted. Not just twisted, but twisted backwards and upside down. And let's about addressing that. Because there's a lot of conceptions, and stop coming at it from the standpoint of how do I get this heifer in bid. Let's ask a different question here. Not how do I get her in bid, but should I trying to get her in the bed? That's the better question. Let's go ahead and see if we can try our phone lines here. Caller from the 786, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Black First.
Black First, brother, what question, where are you calling from?
Lonnie from Miami.
Lonnie from Miami. What's on your mind, brother?
Yeah. The what Mimi did, and I just saw the picture of Jada Pinkett Smith. It just seems like it's just a vast not caring, like anything goes. Like, we're just playing in rebel rules, backyard rules. Anything goes, everything goes, and it doesn't even matter how old they are. What happened to the rule of once you turn 40, you add an inch to your skirt for every year? It's like they're just saying no. They're not even subtracting an inch. They're taking off their clothes, and it's reverberating back to the 20-year-olds. More like they're competing with the 20-year-olds more than just doing their own thing. Like, they're not even looking for men their own age. They're just going for men 15, 20 years younger than them. They're going to the same bottom-of-the-bucket males that the 20-year-olds are. And it's ridiculous and weird to see, because this wasn't going on decades ago. You would never see a 40-plus-year-old woman posing nude in anything. It was, you're 40 years old, you're past the prime. They always told women, well, do nudity before you get older, because then it just looks ridiculous. And now it's supposed to not look ridiculous, but it is looking ridiculous. It's looking more ridiculous because, you know, 44, 45 years old, and you have 50-year-old women walking around in booty shorts trying to get 30-year-old men, 25-year-old men. Where are our elders? You look to them, and they're trying to have the same sex game that the 20-year-olds are. They're trying to have a friend with benefits. They're 50 years old, but they're trying to get a 30-year-old to be their midnight smash, or they're trying to walk around naked and everything. Like, look at my body. Sort of not. This is our society from top to bottom, from 80 to 8. It's just welfare, food stamps, Section 8, and I'm going to walk around naked. And these are our women. That's the majority of them that's walking around with no clothes on, but just for a reason of trying to hook up with somebody, from celebrities to the project hood rat. There's no vision on seeing anybody of substance, because every time you turn around and see somebody of substance, you have Kaylis a few years ago. I was surprised when she sold out, and it was like, whoa, wait a minute, you were this, you know, empowering woman, and then all of a sudden you're doing My Milkshake Comes to the Yard. Well, my milkshake makes all the boys come to the yard. And where have we gone? What is this? You can't find anybody of pretty much any age. It's too hard to find them. And the more they get into the machine of celebrity, it's like, well, she's going to be down the hill in a few years. You can forget about that. Wherever she is, she's going to be down the hill. Queen Latifah has a blonde weave. When did we ever see that coming? I don't think any of us could say in 1992 we would see that coming. And we're looking at it right now today. And it's getting more and more of just that direction. So, I mean, we're combating it. I mean, I see more men combating it and saying, no, we don't want this. You mostly see the ratchet male saying, no, this is good. But you're seeing a growth of men who are saying that is wrong, but you're not seeing the growth in women. They're out there, and I know it's a lot of them out there, but you're just not seeing that numbers combating the behavior, the misbehavior. you're mostly seeing people, women, fighting against not redirecting themselves in the right way.
Someone,
I have to agree with you. I have to agree with you. I'm 53, soon to be 54, and I look forward to being an elder. I look forward to the little wrinkles that I get on my face, to, you know, aging, you know, beautifully and looking mature. And at 40, I was at my girlfriend is the same age. It was considered cold in California, and I had on, you know, some, and they told me I wasn't going to get anybody. And I was like, I don't care, because she's out here and I'm not going to be out here in a mini skirt or some tight dress, and it's freezing. And you're absolutely correct. The older you get, you can still, you know, have some sex appeal, but you're leaning more towards class and sophistication. And what happened to, you know, being kind of mysterious? What happened to a man wanting to see you come out of your clothes? They see you butt naked now. There's no room left for imagination. Your skirts are supposed to get longer. You are supposed to have a different look. I don't care if you're 50 and you still have a tight body. You're not supposed to have booty shorts. That's my opinion. So I have to totally agree with you. And it looks like, yeah, we don't honor aging gracefully and being put in our roles. I'm not old enough to be in a rocking chair, but I'm too young, but I'm too old to be up in there dry like it's hot and twerking. And there's blurred lines.
Yeah, I remember having a day where.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, I remember days where sexy was how a woman carried herself and not how much of her body parts can show. And that used to be sexy. She was sexy because she walked upright. She walked with grace and style. Now it's just how much she's sexy, you know, how much cleavage she's showing, how much of her booty she's showing, how tight the clothes are, if she can put on 6-inch heels opposed to 2-inch heels or flats or 4-inch heels. That's, and just to see it in the older women, because my mother's just 5 years older than you are, so to see it in 50-year-old women walking around like that is surprising, because they didn't do that when I was younger. I didn't see women like that when I was younger. And now they're 50, and I see them all the time all over the place, which is it's jaw-dropping, because I can expect that from younger people. I can expect that from, you know, late teens, 20s. You can see that, and you could combat it, but when you see it in the 40s and 50s and even 60s, how do you combat somebody who's, like I say, old enough to be my mother, say, you know, I'm a grown woman and I'm going to walk around like this, and then you turn to the 25-year-old, the 30-year-old, and say, well, you can't dress like, I guess, she's dressing, and then they say the same thing.
I believe that there's a whole lot of low self-esteem out here today. It has to be. And nobody takes value in themselves. And maybe it's a lot of competition out here to get men. I don't know. And you're absolutely correct. Sexy is just who you are. You don't even have to do anything extra. There was a time when we went out, we dressed to impress. They'll 400-pound women be wearing booty shorts and white beaters and heels, and I didn't change like 15 times trying to be appropriate, because there's a different kind of approach, you know, from a man when you have a different kind of outfit on. And I'm at the age I don't want the approach, you know, for a night stand. But like I said, I've changed 5 times, and I'm like, did you really look in the mirror? And when you look at the mirror, You said you got it. Wow. It's embarrassing. So we can't be taken seriously. And then you have the nerve as women to say, oh, he approached me in a sexual manner. I'm a lady. I can't tell. And if I'm a female, and I'm a woman, and I can't tell, I know he can. You have drawn a line that you want to be treated with respect. And I'm going to tell you one thing. These little hotel sisters and the ones with the hair rags and the extra large clothes, some of them is hoes too.
Some of them, you're being charitable.
Well, I don't know a lot of them.
No, what's happening is, like Lonnie said, these people have talk is what they've done. They perfected the talking points. Kayla's perfected the talking points. I mean, let's just be honest. She's about my milkshake brings all the boys to the yard. Well, it wasn't like she put her body out there for you to even be able to tell her milkshake was. So what does that tell you? That tells you that she couldn't compete with the, at that time, the Howards and whatnot, that she wasn't able to compete with none of them. That's why she was talking that up stuff, because she had nothing else. What else was she going to approach you with? She didn't have anything. She didn't have anything. Let's just be honest. Not saying that she was a dumbass, but what I'm saying is that she didn't have a whole bunch of tools that the sexy girls have. That's why it was so easy to go with that, you know, I just want to get along with you and all that stuff. That's why it was so easy to do that. Because she didn't have to compete back then. That's what they used. Erica Badu and Long Hill, two of the biggest sluts you ever met. Bastard babies all over the damn place. And yet, the first ones to tell you that they're queens. The first ones. Those are the talking points. Everybody knows to sound like you're on point. Everybody knows how to do that. And that's the reason why distrust is at an all-time high. The women are approaching men running games. But guess what? The men just stepped their game up. You want to lie about how many people you sleep with? I'm going to lie to you about everywhere I've been, everywhere I'm going to be. The first time that you reveal that you're willing to do that, that's it, man. That's it. So it's not just a few of them. I mean, it's what they do. They all try to do the same thing. You catch them when they're in high school and ask them what they put up on Facebook and Twitter. It all looks the same. You haven't seen anybody's face dead on. They all got their butts in your face. And that's the weeding out process. In high school, they find out if they're fine enough to get the guys to look at them. And if you're one of those group of girls who's not, then you have to find something else. And that's how they end up like this. They find religion, find counterculture, Afrocentrism. Not Pan-Africanism, but counterculture, Afrocentrism. That's what they do.
I mean, as far as that goes, they told themselves somehow that that's what black men want is the long 24-inch weave, and now it's gotten to it has to be blonde, it has to be blue, it has to be red, because that's what men want. They counter it with, well, I do this because this is what men like, this is what black men like, instead of, no, we're telling you that that's not what we like, and they're saying, no, this is what you like. How can you tell men what they like? This is what you like to see. You like to see the booty pictures on Facebook and Instagram. And like, no, we don't want to see those pictures on Facebook and Instagram. And they're telling us what we should like, basing it off of Jada Pinkett Smith naked on Facebook. Because you have the, you know, back in the 90s, we all love Jada Pinkett, but they take that to today and, well, you like Jada Pinkett, so now she's naked, so I could be naked, so you must like Jada Pinkett, so you must like me, because now you have to accept that. Well, I don't know Jada Pinkett Smith to tell her that she should take that picture down, but if I knew her, I'll be telling her to take it down like I'm telling you to take it down. And they don't see that part of it. They don't see us telling them this is the way that you should behave. This is the defense where they say black men should be defending women. This is the defense. It's not accepting what you do and then going and defending somebody. You make a porn scene, which is what that was. We're not going to defend you and say, hey, don't call her a hoe because she's not. She's a black woman. We're not going to defend that. The defense should have came before she made it, because the defense should have came to her as in, no, you're not going to do that. That's the defense. They don't see that as defense. They see you have to defend what they do, their actions, their post-play, you have to defend it instead of don't do it beforehand, because that's what men are supposed to do, step in and stop. You're not supposed to do that. Calm down, have a seat. But then they're ready to tell us, get out of my way, I'm a grown woman. I can do what I want to do. And then we're supposed to defend everything that comes down on top of them when they have four kids by four men. We're supposed to defend and accept that instead of you weren't supposed to do that. They've been taught it up, it's upside down. Defend me afterwards, not beforehand. I don't know how to defend afterwards. None of us can really defend afterwards. Once you crack an egg, the egg is gone. You have to scramble it now. You can't put it back in the refrigerator. It's done. You've done the job. You've already cracked the egg. It's over with. And until they get that message that it's done, you're finished, have a seat, what can we do? I mean, what generation do we start with to turn it around? Because it's sort of like it can be a generation, but where is it? Where is it going to happen? Is it the single-digit kids? Is it the 20s? Is it the 30s? Do we start with the seniors and work down? Because it's all up. Everywhere you go, if you start up then go and try to go down, how are they going to react to you have to change? And if you start at the bottom, well, they're still looking up at all the older women. They're looking up at their mothers and aunts with this behavior. So where do you get it? Or do you just try to pull out the best people and say, well, we're going to do a full generation, everybody goes in?
Chris last week saying that what we need in black society is a strong man. He was referred to, you know, somebody like, you know, Idi Amin or Jomo Kenyatta. That what we need is a strong man, somebody who can step in and take autocratic control and turn things around. That's what we need. And what I'm telling you all is that strong man is here, and he's you. You know, I was just one guy. I posted a video about Nicki Minaj, and it changed things. I was just one guy, and I posted a video about Rayon McIntosh, and it changed things. And the only thing that I've really done is I've served as a rallying point for other people. But in all honesty, if everybody did everything that they could, that changed things. If just as easy as if it was trending on Twitter with Jada Pinkett Skank, that would be the last time that her or anybody else like her about doing something like that.
Yeah, that's what should be trending. Everybody should put up that post. This is rejected. Don't put up anything else. Just put up post. This type of behavior is rejected. And the more people see that, hashtag it, do anything so that people see that, so that they can have that turn. Well, this is rejected by enough people, because it doesn't take everybody. All it takes is a nice number of people to really make that sound that, hey, this is rejected. Nobody wants to see you naked. Nobody wants to see you acting like a trollop. Nobody wants to see you in blonde hair and blue eyes and booty shorts when you come from the projects in New York or Oakland or Detroit. Nobody wants to see that. Wear your own natural, but how many people are doing that is the problem. Everybody, when even if it doesn't have to be everybody, but people who adhere to the message should do that. Do it once a day. This type of behavior is rejected, even if it's one. I don't care if you put up 10 posts a day. If there's one post or one post every day to send a message, if many people do it or enough people that adhere to the message of this is going to be the way that we expect black women to move forward, this is going to be it. Because a lot of them are going off the image, and they're ready. They're 300 pounds putting up pictures of women who are 120 pounds. See, look at this black beauty, and it's like you're 325 pounds. That's not – or look at this black woman. She's beautiful, and it's like she has natural hair. She's 125 pounds. She works out 6 days a week, and she carries herself like a lady. Why you don't you can't feed off of that image and say Harriet Tubman is the image of strong black womanhood when you're sleeping with every other guy that you know, or you're just kowtowing to the system and you're on Section 8 food stamps and welfare. That doesn't mix. You can't post Harriet Tubman as your image of strong black womanhood and say you're strong black womanhood and be in the system of weakness. And it doesn't and it doesn't fit. You're running away from reality. Luckily enough, they have the weak man to run to, which is a big problem in having that and being able to say, well, she's just, you know, Mimi's just doing her thing. She's okay. It's okay that she did that. Then you do it, and then suddenly when men are like, I don't want a woman who has porn scenes flashing across the internet. We're wrong, men. Black men are wrong. You should accept it. Everything should be accepted. Well, no, that shouldn't be accepted. It should be scolded upon. Because it is by black men, that's the defense. The defense is the scolding of somebody who steps out of line. Because the agents, they scold theirs who step out of line. Michelle Malkin steps out of line, and she's basically isolated from the Asian community because she's out of line. They don't want to see an Asian woman on TV scolding and yelling and acting ignorant. That's not your Asian woman image. So you're out of here. You're on your own from this point on. And we don't do that. We want to wrap that woman up and bring her back in and, you know, celebrate what she's done. Well, you don't bring that person back in until they correct what they've done and they stand up and say, you know what, I did this wrong. Yes, I had 5 kids by 5 men. Well, I did that wrong. That wasn't right. You don't bring them back in and say they're deserving of a good man at 30 when they've had 5 kids with 5 men. You scold the behavior. They say that they're allowed to come back in when they have fixed it. And if somehow they manage to find a good man, which they shouldn't even be on the horizon for them, then they could come back and join our society. But until then, you have to leave them on the outskirts. But there's so many out there that they just want to bring everybody back in. We're all individuals until you want to hide your stink. Then we're all grouped and we're all black people and we're all together trying to hide individual stink. I can do my thing. I can go out and play in manure all day long. I'm an individual. But when it's time to smell everybody, we all need to stick together and get around the people who have cologne on. And that's an inferior process because now you got manure and cologne, and we all know what that smells like.
Yeah, it smells like manure and cologne. Let's see if we can bring in a couple of more calls here. Caller from the 313, I'm just going to add you to the conversation. You're live with the Black Channel.
Hey, how you doing? This is Useful from Facebook. How you doing, Jason Lesh?
Okay, take your phone off speaker, Nagus. It sounds like you're calling us from a soup can, brother.
Okay. Okay.
And I know you paid a lot of money for your phone with that cleaning service money.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of cleaning services there, I guess you and Mimi are going to be I guess we're gonna see you swinging from the shower
Never.
Rod soon to get business up. That might
Never.
Be good for business, brother. You might wanna just see how it works out for you.
Never. Never. I just wanna share my thoughts in touching what you guys were talking about. And honestly, I think there's a lot of lurking variables when contributing to what we're dealing with black people in terms of relationships. It's somewhat of a cultural dissonance. And what I think is one of the things is that the intelligence, that is one of the obvious, but the intelligence is pretty low right now. And the reason I say that is that black women do not really, a lot of them do not understand what their value is. What they don't know their value. That's why you'll have a woman that's 300 pounds with a short skirt with high expectations. She might want a guy with a six-pack and a Mercedes Benz. And then you'll have a guy who thinks he can be a player till he's 50 years old. And the thing that they don't realize is, and I realized this when I was 2 years ago, because my father had me when he was 50. He was pretty old. But he died 2 years ago, and he was on his deathbed. Now, me and my father, we didn't have the best relationship. He was a very stern man. He was very outspoken. But, you know, he said what it is. He was hard to get along with. So he didn't have too many people by his side. But he had my mother. He did have my mother by his side. And if he didn't have my mother by his side, he would have had a shorter lifespan, and he would have had a horrible death due to finances and everything else under the sun. But my mother was there for him. He had a wife, and she was there for him to the end. And because of her support, his lifespan throughout his life was longer, and he had a better. He died in a peaceful manner. And what I'm alluding to is the fact that these women and these men think they can be players forever, and they don't understand the importance of having a family structure. Once you get older to a certain level, all that fun and games is out the window. You might be able to, you know, Mimi at 40, she's one of the exceptions. And I mean, black don't crack, so black don't look good till it's about 50. But at the end of the day, certain things are going to start to kick in when you reach a certain age. You have your young life, and then once you're over that peak, then it's another life that you're living. All those things that you once were focused on is going to become irrelevant. And a lot of black people don't take those things into consideration because of their intelligence. The level of intelligence is not there. Here's something else that people don't consider. And I'm not, and when I say this, I don't want women to take this into offense and think that I'm putting all the blame on them. But what I'm saying is that you look at the equal rights that was passed in 1972, first ratification for it, for women. So we're actually looking at the generation of women who are net, have the same equal rights and job opportunities as men. So in the 1950s, you had more women that were married. And here's a fact, and people can verify this and look it up right now. There was a higher probability for black women to get married than it was white women. Now, it's totally different. Why is that? And so we have to look at those things. Is it because of the opportunity and the sense of women feel as though now they only need men for sex and for feelings? They don't need no man? Is it the sense of men are becoming more feminized? So it's a lot of things that's contributing to this. And Jason Black, you had a point when you said, if we don't have a family, a foundation of family, then we can't have a society. And right now, it's looking very bad. It's a very few selected women out there and a very few selected men that actually are good to have a family, and that's very scary.
Yeah, that's the problem, is that it makes the available, you've got choices but no options, as they say. You've got choices, but no options. Let me go ahead and bring Muse in here. I was getting ready to bring you in next, as a matter of fact, Muse, so you can just stop your yelling and jumping down over there. Well, I was getting ready to bring you in here. So you're on the line with the Black Channel. What's on your mind? Okay, she went through all that yelling to say she's on the line, and then I say, okay, you're on the line, and she doesn't say anything.
Oh, hello, hello, hello.
Oh,
wow, really? Did you really just do that?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. We've been talking to you now for a minute.
My apologies. My phone was actually on mute by accident. My bad.
My phone was on mute by accident. But understand, y'all, she's going to be on point with everything she's going to say from here on in. So just understand, she doesn't know how to work her phone, but you should warrant her opinion on everything else. So trust me, she's mastered everything else. Trust me.
Oh, Lord. Okay, I had a slow person moment. Forgive me. Because I was talking on my phone, too, and realized the mute button was on. So my bad. Thanks for having the after-hour show. Hi, Mona. One of the reasons why I called you. Hi. By the way, I enjoyed your commentary this evening. It was very, very on point. But we were going back and forth in a chat room over two things. One of the debates we got into was, should a man over the age of 30 have a roommate? And I personally said no, because I think by the time you're 30, unless you're in school or you're in the process of starting your own business, you should be able to live on your own. And if rent is too expensive, then you should find a place where that's within your budget. And for me personally, as a woman, I would be actually very uncomfortable outside of those reasons, dating a man who could not afford to live on his own. And many of the guys in the room were pretty upset by that statement, because my perspective is that a man's ability to take care of himself and be responsible, though, pay his bills, you know, grow his business or cultivate his career, whatever his goals are, is an indicator of how he will be with taking care of a family. And I have some pretty traditional views on that. I think a man, it's his responsibility to financially sustain a family, regardless of what the woman's career is and what she does to bring in income. But and so I just actually wanted your opinion, because some of the opinions in the chat made it sound like I was losing my mind. And for me, growing up, I was always taught that it's the man's responsibility to sustain the family economically, and whatever the woman brings in, that's just extra.
Okay, well, first of all, it's the man's responsibility to take care of the family. Well, yes, I do agree with that, as long as you're his family.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Girlfriend's different, so let's not mix up terms in social settings that don't belong. Girlfriend is different from family.
And I agree with that. Let me jump on that.
Well, why don't I be the host to your question right quick first?
Okay.
But what you were saying about that is that makes sense. The problem that people will have that, unfortunately, too many females today do not know what it means to be a productive member of a partnership. So when all you hear is her talking about benefits that she will receive, and we don't hear very much, there's a flood come out. Oh, the faucet says benefits, and then it's just a little old drip every couple of minutes out of the side that says contributions. Now, that's where we hit a problem, because a woman who contributes a lot is worth you benefiting her everything. So they may have been responding to what they perceive as a lack of balance. If all you're talking about is what the man is supposed to do, and you haven't uttered one word yet of what's required of you as a woman, that's the problem. Last time you and I spoke, it wasn't very clear what wife material was. You knew what you wanted the men to do. You weren't very clear on what it was the woman was supposed to do, or should I say it wasn't very specific. It was like love. You were basically just saying love, 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 love. I'm a woman. Love, 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 love. and never gave any real specifics of what this woman, what this wife was or was supposed to do. Nothing really specific, just this is what she's supposed to give. These are some generalities. These are labels, but labels, not definitions. They're just that, labels. So that, I think, I'm hoping that that was what their argument with it was. Otherwise,
well,
I'm lost on what it was.
Okay, well, let me elaborate, because then there was accusations of being independent because, yes.
You, I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you off. I have a problem with something you just said, because now you're going on to the next subject. You said that the women's money is supposed to be extra. Extra for what?
The family. If they want to save extra or go on vacations, invest, it's extra. But he should not depend, the woman's income should not be dependent on whether the family can sustain themselves. That's why a lot of people are, like I said, I have some very traditional views in that aspect. And so if a woman does work, yeah, the money's extra for the family, but I don't think in the event that she has to stay at home for maternity leave, because let's be real, biology woman is the one who gives birth and may have to stay home for a few months depending on how her pregnancy goes, the family should not go into economic peril because she's unable to work because they were dependent on her income.
So how are you that man's helpmeet, and what's his motivation for being with you if your money is extra vacations?
Well, I also said investment and savings and
yeah, but I mean, you threw that in later. But the real point is, what she's asking is, what? Why does he need you if your money is extra? Why does he need you?
I mean, if she brings other things to the table, help him with his life plan, is assistant to him, is an asset to him. If she's intelligent,
okay.
If she's nurturing,
or labels, you're not being or labels. That's nothing that you can do. She assists him with his life plans. You just told us that he doesn't need her. That's the point that Mona is trying to make to you. You just said that he needs to be completely independent, so much so that he can take care of a whole family even without his female, but that he needs to need her. So she wants to make sure that he needs her, and she's going to have her own money, but that's extra now. That's not anything necessary. It's extra. In other words, if I'm going to bounce anytime I want to bounce, I've got the means to be able to do that, but he needs to be fully committed, whereas I have the luxury of being committed when I will be involved but not committed. He will be involved and committed. That's what.
But how would you interpret my statement as her not being committed, though?
Because if her money is extra, it's not committed.
I mean, if
you
more
have
families
to both,
operate
you have to both
under-
be needed. You have to both be needed. And what you're saying is, wait a minute. We can work together on everything, but these finances here, we got to keep that separate so that mine is extra. So you want him to take care of everything that is needed, all the non-discretionary spending. His money needs to be tied up at. But the discretionary spending for our wants, you know, play things, it's playtime. You want your money to be reserved for that. So if it needs to be spent, yeah, playtime, vacations, yeah, that's great. But he
but
has to spend on the responsible stuff. You just spend it on what you want to.
Yeah, I think, but you're just focusing on the incidentals. I also mentioned savings and investment along with the extra stuff. So.
Yeah, but savings and investments are a monthly bill that must be paid or your lights go off and you can't feed your children.
I understand that, and also made it clear that I think a man should be able to take care of all of that.
Okay, he should be able to take
I
care
mean,
of all of that.
But
wait a minute, we can disagree about that. I mean, it's, you can also agree that the sky is green, orange polka dots.
Well, yeah, no, I made it clear. I think he should be able to take care of all the necessities in the household.
But then the point becomes, then what the hell does he need you for then?
Well, he doesn't technically need her. He would be with her because
then
he wants
why would
to be
she
with
be there? So you're saying
so
I want to be there. I want to be a fifth wheel, not even a third one. I want to be a fifth wheel.
Can I add something real fast to that?
Yes, Mommy.
I just want to say also, and we also got to look at the aspect of we don't necessarily live in a primitive society, meaning in terms of a in terms of traditional relationship. Well, in this day and age, women are making pretty much almost about the same amount, if not more, than men. So when we're looking at things in a financial aspect, as far as contribution, and you're talking about man handles all the fixed bills, and your money, you know, your money is extra, and you just allocate that money for whatever you want to do, I don't think that's pretty. I don't think that's pretty sensible in terms of, you know, if you have a professional job and a career, and you're making $50,000 to $100,000, and he's making the same amount, why can't it be somewhat 60-40?
Are you asking me why can't?
Yeah, it depends on
the family.
I'm curious.
I mean, if that works for your family, that's fine. I mean, I make very good money, by the way. But my expectations are, if I'm going to marry someone, then I have an expectation that he should be able to support our family, regardless of how much money I'm making. And that's just my opinion.
Yes, I mean, but you're missing the point, though. You're missing the point that he just said. What he just said is nowadays it's we have income equality. It is different from your parents' age, where women did not work and the dollar was worth 15 times what it is today. Today, the water is meeting its own level. So it is unlikely that you, unless you specifically go looking for a man who is making more money than you, which means you're going to sacrifice character traits for money. Now, if you want to do that, that's perfect fine. But if it's somebody that you want to have to mess with, you won't be able to dictate arbitrarily, okay, I want this type of income range and have to have this type of personality as well. That's really a crapshoot. So what you're saying is that I want him to have this type of personality that I would be willing to marry him, but he must also qualify a certain age range. Remember, for every qualification, every time we have a checklist, every time you put a box on that checklist that needs to be checked, you are knocking off whole fractions and segments of the society, and the number of people that you'll be able to choose from goes ever smaller, fractionally smaller. And what you are saying is, I want a man, even though what you just said, I make good money. Well, it's unlikely then, if you really do make money as much as you're breaking your arm, patting yourself on the back for, then it's unlikely that you're going to find a man who's going to making that much more than you. In which case, if you two have parity, what reason does he have if you're making 50, which is what Johnny just said, if you're making 50,000 and he's making 60,000, why is it that you both are not splitting the bills? Because you both have parity.
Okay, well, I think with that note, each family has to take their unique situation under consideration. And so, and I don't think you have to compromise other traits if you want certain things. I think a lot of people operate under extremes. Like, if you want someone who is successful and on point economically, then he has to be a jerk. It doesn't necessarily have to be like that. The world is not necessarily black and white like that.
Okay, nobody said that, but what I'm saying is that if to have parity of income, keep up with me here. If you two have parity of income, because if your income is as good as you say it is, it's unlikely that a man's is going to be really that much more. So in that case, what becomes the problem with you splitting bills if he's the man you want to marry and you both have similar income?
Well, then that puts him at a huge disadvantage if pressure is all on him. If you guys' incomes are equal like that, based on your example, 50,000, she makes 50,000 and he makes 60.
Okay,
but
you haven't explained
can
anything.
Can I make a point? Stop,
Lonnie. Hold on a second. Muse, you're running from my question. And that's when you know you're in trouble, when somebody asks you a question and you run from it. Muse, are you listening?
Yes.
Okay, strike. We're going to give you strike three here now. Muse, if he makes $60,000 and you make $50,000, what is the problem with the two of you splitting the bills, since both have income parity?
The problem of them splitting the bills? The problem is, what if the woman or one of them is unable to work or they lose their job?
Okay, but you're both working. No, you're not going to change the example. You are both working, Muse. You're winning again. You are both working. There's no disabilities and none coming. What is the reason we cannot split these bills this month? We both got paid this Friday night. Thank you, Johnny Kemp. What is the reason we cannot split these bills tonight?
I don't think you should. I think the issues guys disagree with me. I think he should be responsible for paying them if you guys are married.
Okay.
It's
you
not
explain,
matter.
Okay, all you're doing is repeating your position. You are not explaining why we cannot do that.
What do you mean why we can't? Or
you
okay,
have
now
not explained what is the rationale why we cannot do that if we both have similar incomes. What is the rationale for why we cannot do that?
I guess the rationale would be there's not enough money for one person to pay all the bills.
Okay,
what
I'm saying is that between the two of you, how about you spend 25% of your income on the bills, he spends 25% of his income on the bills, and then you can use the other 75% of your joint incomes as discretionary spending.
Okay, I don't think that's a problem. Why, I mean, that sounds fine, I mean, but I still think the man should pay the majority of the bills, if not all of them.
Okay.
I mean, that sounds... doesn't sound unfair. I guess I'm a little confused as what we're...
It's not that it sounds... It's not... It doesn't sound fair. That's not the problem. The problem is it sounds contradictory. That's
why
the problem.
It sound contradictory?
It's not a matter of... I've already explained that to you. And I'm sure you heard it very well. Come on, don't do that. You heard everything perfectly fine, Muse. It's contradictory. You are saying that his income should be tied up in non-discretionary spending so that you can have freedom to decide how your income is spent. You stated that very clearly several times, but you don't want him to have the ability to decide how the income gets spent because he may have a few months that he wants to go buy Muse. Don't do that again, okay? Because people can't hear both of us at the same time. If he decides he wants to go buy a Cadillac Escalade truck, but he has to pay the bills, pay the house, pay the mortgage, pay down these credit cards, and then he doesn't have enough to get that Escalade. Now what?
I'm
listening.
Yes, I'm asking.
He wants to buy Escalade, but he doesn't have enough money to pay all these bills and go do that. Now what?
Okay, so I may have misspoke earlier. I did not mean if they're married and he's spending all of his income on the necessities in the house. And when I said that her income should be used for incidentals like investments and savings, that doesn't mean she decides what happens with the extra income she makes. That's
actually
a family
yes, it
decision.
Does. Actually, yes, it does.
But if you're married,
because you already said that he does not get to decide whether he pays the electric bill and the phone bill. You've already said he gets no say in that. He has to be able to do that by virtue of the fact that he's the man. So by definition, by mathematics, doesn't matter. This is not an opinion anymore. This is math now. By mathematics, your income is discretionary and his is not, since you have already stated your expectation is that his income is spoken for before he gets it, but yours is not.
But you don't get the income that comes to
wow,
the
but
household.
Wait a minute. Can you address what I just said? Whoa. We don't do that here at the Black Channel. Can you address what I just said? You just said that his income can be, that your expectation, you expect for his income to be spoken for before he even gets it. So whatever the electric company, phone company, internet, cell phone, the mortgage, all of them to decide how much money he has left over at the end of the month. No one, however, will have the same hold on you.
But I disagree with that because the money is still going into the household before non-incidental.
Okay, so are you saying that you all have a joint bank account?
Well, you should if you're married.
Man, I didn't ask you what you should. I said, is that the idea that you are promoting here?
Yes, of course.
Okay, well, if you have a joint bank account, it's silliness to talk about his income going to go pay bills so that the rest of it is discretionary. That's silly. You have
one
bank account. Therefore, that one bank account should pay and address all the bills without regard to where the income in the bank account came from.
You have to take that into consideration, because when you're budgeting for a household, if he, let's say hypothetically, he brings in after taxes $3,000 a month, and after taxes you bring home $2,000 a month, you should budget as if you're bringing home $3,000 a month, even though you technically have $5,000 a month. That's what I mean. So if you're asking...
No, you should budget for that. You should budget for as low as you possibly can. Regardless what your household income is, you should budget for as low as you can. That way it doesn't matter if one of you or even both of you lose your jobs. If you budget as low as you can, you don't have to waste. So that's not called that's called waste management. That's not really something that depends on an extra income.
Jason, I was just using an example. I work in finance, so I understand if you bring home through a certain amount of money, you should definitely live below your means. That's ideal. But for the example, based on this discussion we're having, we're speaking hypotheticals here. We're not talking about ideally if someone brings in $3,000. Yeah, maybe you should spend only $1,000. That's just rational. However, most people don't operate like that. I'm speaking for an example. If he brings in $3,000 a month, you bring in $2,000 a month, you should budget as if his income is the only thing that comes into the house. And so the extra $2,000 that you guys have after all the bills are paid can be used for whatever other needs or incidentals in the household. So that is what
I meant. Okay, why don't we just add all his $5,000 and just pay everything? Why don't we do that instead?
I mean, yeah, I guess.
Why are we putting artificial gymnastics and games in our head? Because that's a game that you're talking about there. Why don't we just deal with the reality in front of us? We, between the two of us, have $5,000 income a month. Why aren't we not making all of our financial decisions based on the entirety of how much money we have, including how much you want to put in savings? That's fine. But why are we not keeping all of our money in all of our decisions? Why are we not doing it instead? Because it would be different if your budget was going to be the exact same thing every month, but it's not. You're going to try to keep it as low as you can, but it's not. So why are we playing make-believe? The only person that is the one person who is saying that I want mine to be separate. What I'm saying here is that that's a nice intellectual masturbation, but at the end of the day, a man should be very, very concerned about a female who speaks like that. Because I'm a guy who believes in paying bills. Don't get me wrong. I've spoken that since day one. I believe in that. I believe in being a hardworking man. I do not believe in being Santa Claus. And even when I do play Santa Claus, I believe that you should accept the gift that I give you. I do not believe that little Susie should walk up to Santa Claus telling him how generous he's going to be today. That's where we're no longer partners anymore. When you're walking up and telling me how generous I'm going to be, that's where we got a problem. Because it's not generosity anymore. You are dictating terms. And everything you said, sounded a lot familiar like last week, was telling the man what is expected of him. And the only thing expected of you is, well, she'll help him with his endeavors and a bunch of generic stuff. You were real specific. This is what I meant last time. You were real specific about what the man is expected to do. Oh, these bills. This electric bill, this phone bill. Oh, he's expected to take care of all the household expenses. And the woman, well, she can help him with whatever side project. In between her time of working, her career, of course, because she's got to be making her own money. So she's got a couple of minutes to flick off at him. Oh, she can help him with that. But otherwise, she's keeping herself safe. That's not a partnership. That's not a wife. That's a free...
But I didn't say that.
No, well, that is what you said. That's not a partnership.
No,
that's not a wife.
Say that.
When she comes in the door saying that I expect you to pay for this, 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 and this, and for me, we'll negotiate on this side of the ledger. We'll discuss that later. Oh, but for you, this side over here, non-negotiable. For my side, there will be discussions in the future, further discussion about that. Nothing is etched in stone on your side. Everything is etched in stone on his side. That was the problem
okay,
you were saying. That was the problem you were saying before. Now, if you want to amend that now and alter that and say, well, I've had a chance to think it over. Maybe that's not very good. Certainly not conducive for a marriage. I'd like to amend that. Perfectly fine. But that's what you were saying at the beginning.
No, but that's not what I said, Jason. We can go back and listen to the recording, but that is not what I said. And so,
sure,
I mean,
it'll be up for people to listen to it. Every person who's ever tried that line loses. I mean, they'll just – I can give you transcripts of it if you like. It won't change.
No, that's fine. I know. I remember what I said, and I know in context of what I meant and what I was trying to interpret, but I think a lot of things you're putting in my mouth, that's not what I said. And I didn't say that anything I do is negotiable as a woman. I said that someone asked me specifically a question, and it was related to the man's role, and I answered it. And so –
No, that's what, now you're going to run from your own answers, and you know you're in trouble when you're running your own answers. You said that, quote, the man's income, he should be able to take care of all the household expenses on his income alone. And what is your income for? My income is for extra things. Extra like what, Mona asked, like vacations or savings or investment or whatever. So as I said again, where the man is concerned, you had concrete things that you could list. On your side, you didn't have any concrete things that will be required of you every month, no matter what. Because that electric bill is coming this month, no matter whether he works or doesn't work. It's coming regardless. On your side of the ledger, there really isn't anything that's fixed in stone. It'll be discretionary, like I said before. I mean, it's not going to change. You wanted him to pay all the non-discretionary spending, the bills that we know are coming regardless of what you do. You want discretionary, a vacation. We're not vacationing every month. Investments. Not going to make the same investments every month either. If you are, you're foolish. You're not going to sit up here and go buy a new car every month. Hope to God you don't try that one on $5,000 a month. You're not going to be sitting up here racking up. You're not going to rack up more expenses every month. So the point is, you put the non-discretionary spending on the man's side ledger, and all that leaked on your side is what you said, the extra. Well, extra, the definition of extra is non-essential, which means that you will be able to decide whether you want to pay for it or not. It's not going to change. You want something that does not obligate you. So you're saying he takes care of obligations and I take care of the extras.
Or you can save the extra money that you have so that you can contribute to something else bigger in the future. I mean, I think all those points that you made are valid. You're not going to take a vacation every month. You're not going to buy a bunch of expensive items every month, hopefully. And so any extra money that's not going towards debts or bills that the woman brings in can go towards the savings. And so that's why it was important for all those points to hit on, because a lot of people are not saving enough, and too many people are living way above their means, and they're depending on two household incomes to take care of their essentials, which is why when one person in the family loses their job, many families go into financial ruin because they were dependent on two incomes instead of one. And the reason I put the onus on the man to take care of those expenses, because in the event, God forbid, like I said, you said, oh, no one's disabled at this point, no one's losing their job, but that's actually a very real reality nowadays where people are losing their job or accidents happen where they're not able to work and they no longer can sustain their lifestyle because they were dependent on two incomes.
Okay.
So I'm not sure.
Here's where the contradiction comes in, okay? Here's the contradiction. The contradiction is his income does not dictate if he is the man of the house. Now that you explain that over and over again, I let people keep doing that because once you back yourself into a corner, you ain't walking out of it. Not when I get done. Ask the fraud. He'll tell you. He is the man of the house, whether his income is greater, equal, or less than yours. If you are saying that he is not the man of the house unless his income is greater than yours, grab your shower curtain rod.
Oh, he just made a meme reference.
what I'm saying, yeah, she's kind of slow on the uptake. But my point is, I'm the man of the house, whether my income is equal, less than, or greater than yours. That does not affect my willingness to pay the bills. But understand something. If we wake up one evening and you win the $10 million Powerball, I'm the man of the house. You're the woman of the house with $10 million in the bank. Real talk.
Okay, I'm not disagreeing with you. And I never said that. I just say
any
level,
man
so.
Who lets a woman dictate to him the extent to which he is the man of the house, A, he is not a man. B, he is not the man of the house. His income does not determine that position. You were saying that, well, I want him to make a certain amount of money in order to be the man of the house. That's what I meant, and I explained it before because I wanted you to just make sure you kept saying it over and over. Now that you're committed to that position, by the way, the contradiction that I was referring to before is that you called him the man of the house and then immediately stated that his status as man of the house is requisite upon his income. And that is not the man of the house. He's man of the house whether he is making more of you or making nothing. Didn't say he can't be looking for a job. But if he does get laid off and you all are not making any money, guess what? He is still man of the house. And you know why? Because whether you are working, whether you are making more money than him, less money than him, or none at all, you are still the woman of the house. Now, if you want your position to be unassailable and for him to not be laying on top of other people, when you ain't working or not doing everything he wants you to do, then guess what? His position is unassailable also. It is not requisite upon his income. You get what you now. You can hold on to that belief if you want to. A lot of wacky beliefs out there. People believing in stars, the California starfish is God. That's perfectly fine. But understand something. There is a belief. We call those religions. There's belief, and then there's practicality. What you can actually execute in the real world. I've got ideals, okay? My ideal is black first. Go walk outside the front door. You see black first out there? I don't. And I'm the guy who invented the phrase. It's an ideal. But this broadcast is a testament to the fact that I take into account the real world and what practical. What you're saying is a wonderful ideal. It really, really is. It's just not practical. Let me see and grab some other people in here because I'm sure they will say something here. Caller from the 708, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hi, Black First. This is Nicole calling from Chicago. How are you doing?
Hello, Cole calling from Chicago. I didn't see you repost us, Nikki.
I did. I just did.
You just did. I was about to say, because you were just about to get booted. That was very – I hadn't had a chance to – while I was dissecting this flim-blam, I hadn't had a chance to go check on that, but I will be back for that. What? Oh, wait a minute. We got two females on the line. Now they're going to try to tag team us. You're in trouble, fellas. I'm going to go mute right now. You guys are in trouble.
Oh, heaven. I'm not trying to tag team anyone.
Like the Legion of Doom. What's on your mind, sister?
Well, just to tack on what you guys are discussing, I personally believe there should be some trade-off in the marriage since it is teamwork. A man is not supposed to be spending all of his income on bills alone. It just didn't seem logical to me in that sense. In terms of what you guys were discussing earlier, because I was late coming in, about the Mimi situation, I was reading an article earlier, and it was describing how Mimi Foss was true representative of the single black mother, or whatever the case is. And I didn't agree with it because I felt like they were coddling her by saying, well, we're going to leave her to the side. She's not a representative of us. And I don't think that's true because of the fact, just because she has a sex tape out does not mean that her behavior that she exhibited in that video does not mean that does not happen in everyday life with the modern-day black single mother. Because it's not sex tape, but guess what? Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, those are their sex tapes. I was just looking at something earlier this morning. and it was really disgusting. It's actually a relative of mine. She's out in Vegas, just had her baby is still newborn. And she's out in Vegas tricking her money on strippers that are female. And she has all kinds of pictures on the internet. So whereas it's not a video, it's still a disgusting behavior as if it's a, from a mother. And it's just,
yeah, I mean, you still have a portfolio, whether it's a video, yeah, whether it's photos, whether it's text messages. I mean, if you got text messages to my, I want to lick you up and down and pick you out my teeth and stuff, I mean, that's a portfolio. That really is. And in this day and age, that stuff lives forever.
Yeah, the internet is not going anywhere. It's just, it's going to be more advanced. It's not going anywhere. And just to add my personal spin to it, I believe that the sexual revolution, it sold women up the river. Because what women did was they chose sexuality over their womanhood, and they wonder why they've been sold very cheaply.
Let's be clear about something here, and I'll to finish the point here in just a moment, but let me be very, very clear for all the women out there listening right now. Let me put you up on maximum game right now. Remember this for the rest of your lives, ladies, females, young girls, old ladies. Remember this. A man has absolutely no problem parting with his money if there's something that he wants from you. Hugh Hefner has become one of the richest and most infamous men in history because he figured out something that women fear, that just because you're willing to pay them to get naked, that's a commitment. Those females who get naked for his magazine really do believe that they are special, even though the magazine's got 100 pages and comes out every month with a new female on it. The female for this month thinks that she is special. She's not getting anything that any of the others were not getting, not even Pam Anderson. She's not getting anything that the others were not getting. But she thinks that she is special because this man is paying $25,000, $50,000, $80,000, $100,000 to get you on the cover of his magazine. Don't you know that to men that's just big game hunting? Only we're using our wallets and not a gun. The goal is to get you naked. And as long as we do that, mission accomplished. He will have no problem going back and working to get all that money back, because the money is what got you naked, and there's more where that's coming from. So understand, you will never be able to outstrip our ability to big game hunt. You never will. Not now, not ever. Money is a tool to a man, with some sense. Money is just a tool. The guys who got Mimi naked, money is a tool to those men. It's just a tool. Its purpose is to be spent. The only question is, we're going to spend it. But don't think to yourself that's the last dollar they're ever going to have. They're spending that money to make more money, they can go get the next heifer naked. That's what men do when you play the game with us. We make you make you try to fool us into believing that sex is valuable, and we fool you into believing that money is valuable. Money is worthless to a man. Let me say that one more time. Money is worthless to us. There's not a guy on this phone right now who is driving a nice car for himself. He's driving it because it gets females' attention. There's no man who's got a bunch of stuff in his house for himself. A man perfectly happy with a bed and a TV and a stove if he's got one. Why do you think that most of your prisons are filled with men? Women can't live like that. Men can. We are bare bones individuals, just necessities. And our job is to make you think that all these niceties are for our benefit, and in reality, they're for yours. So don't ever, all the ladies out there, understand something. Money is worthless to us. We don't care. We understand that we can't take it with us when we're gone. We understand better and more than you ever will. Money is just a tool that we use while we're here. When we're gone, it's gone. But guess what? We're going to pull as much power and influence as we can while we got it. Then finish your thoughts, sir.
Okay. Yeah, I totally agree with that because a mentor I have, she does the books in her household because her husband said many of the similar same words. That is just a tool to him. He's like, he said the same thing. Can't take it with me when I'm gone. So because of how he was spent, she did the finances, she did the budget in the household. So yeah, I totally agree with that. And just looking, just like examining women nowadays, especially like Mimi Falk, I didn't know this woman was 41 years old. And one of the things that is incredibly sad is how you see so many older women are out here, they're hell-bent on competing. And one of the things I have examined, observed, and realized is that most of these women that are trying to compete with younger women is because they have not created, built, developed anything for themselves. Because at her age and 50 and so forth, you're supposed to be embracing the ages as they come along. Why? Because you're comfortable. You know what you've done for yourself. You know what you've created. And you're happy with that. A lot of these women, as we all know, they waste their 20s away, waste their 30s away, and then they get to a certain age where, oh, snap, I have nothing. Let me compete with younger women. And it doesn't work. It just doesn't work.
Muse, do you agree with that?
I'm sorry, I was talking in the chat. Agree with what?
Oh, okay. Muse, go back to sleep. All right.
No, I heard a bit of piece. I was responding to something in the chat. Sorry.
Okay, well, if you didn't hear what she said, don't worry about it. We'll let you go back to flailing them. Lonnie, Nate,
no, I'm not
you have a comment?
What was that? I didn't hear you, Steve. Oh.
I was saying, did either of you have a comment to what she just said? I mean, Nicole, not Muse. Muse.
Okay, yeah. The thing I have to say about what she said is that men, it's right that men use it as a tool because we would live out of a porta potty and a mini fridge if we could get a booty model. So what we do with our money is just to get women or to get whatever we need. I mean, if you meet a guy with a beachfront condo, he didn't pick out that beachfront condo because he liked sitting on the balcony looking at the ocean. He picked it out because women like to sit on the balcony and look out at the ocean. And that's what we do. The first thing that you do as a man when you're trying to attract a certain amount of women is you call your mother to come and decorate your apartment or house to make it comfortable for women because we'll end up with a bunk bed and a blanket. So that's what we do.
Woman who has dated a guy in college know that. You go take a look at guys' college rooms. Go take a look at the girls' college rooms. You go take a look at a guy who's been a bachelor for 10 years after he left college. You go to his house. There's a couch. Ain't even a lazy boy. Might not even be a couch. It might be folding chairs. But that's going to be it. He's just going to have the appliances out there. And as men, that's what we do. So women do serve a purpose of domesticating us. But understand something. If it was up to us, we wouldn't be spending all this money and stuff. We're not spending less.
Have you seen the inside of a single man, if he's single for long enough, seen the inside of his refrigerator? It's nothing really in there. It's bare essentials in there. He has enough in there to cook him a meal each and every day. You go to, once he has a girlfriend, that's the first thing. If you open up your soon-to-be boyfriend's refrigerator, and he's telling
it looks
you
like
that he's been single for 2 years.
The inside of the refrigerator looks like one of them display models at Lowe's is what it looks like. You know, it's just, you open
he got a girlfriend.
Man.
I mean,
go ahead.
The fish stick got open. Freezer burns. I mean, it's just, we don't do anything.
I mean, that's it. You open it up and it's packed with food. He has a girlfriend. If he's telling you that he's 2 years single, you open it up and it's packed with food. He has a girlfriend. He's not single. That he might tell you if you come over and it smells wonderful, like flowers and everything's decorated. Two things: his mother decorates, and she comes around at least once a week to clean up and make sure that everything looks nice. Or two, he has a girlfriend that comes around and he keeps it nice for her. Other than that, we don't care. We'll live out of, you know, it takes me, I'm single, and it takes me a week to put up laundry.
Now, I'll tell you right now, for all the guys who are single with no children, everybody here can bear me witness for the guys who are single with no children. Tonight, on this phone with you all tonight, right now, if something came up and I needed to go to St. Louis, I could literally, I mean this literally, I could literally put on my pants, put on my shoes and socks, put on a shirt, turn off all the lights, walk to my front door, lock the door, get in my car, and hit Highway 1. Never even make a phone call to anybody, anywhere, for any reason. I could get up, walk out of the house right now, and the only thing I would have to do is lock the front door. That would be the extent
correct.
Of my preparations. Now, every guy on this phone who is single with no children, he can do the exact same thing that I just said. He might not be able to do it as quickly, but he can do the exact same thing I just said. A woman...
I've done it several times.
Yeah.
She'll be like, are you kidding me? I got to call my mom, my grandmom, call my aunt, call my sister baby over here, let them know what I'm going to be doing. Oh, I have to see who's going to take care of this thermostat. Oh, I left avocados in the refrigerator. You know what happens when those bad, don't you? So she'll be there for 2 days trying to leave for just 2 hours.
That is true.
We haven't told you all the reason that we invented the Lamborghini. That was not for us. That was for you. Birdman kisses Lil Wayne, but he got Gotti.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
He might not like women, but he wants the option.
I mean, if it wasn't for women, then we all would just drive pickup trucks or something like that. We just drive muscle cars and everything. Nobody you think that we want to drive around in a beautiful car? Doesn't care. It serves one purpose, to get us where we're going.
We don't care if another guy is impressed by our clothes or our car. I mean, we really don't care if he's impressed. If we bought a new car and a female said nothing, that's a crusher. I'm on the hook for $30,000 for this thing, and I'm not getting nothing.
Another one you can also look at is how a single guy dresses versus a married man. Once a married man gets married and he's with his wife and he's no longer looking to find a mate, he becomes a little bit less flashier. All those things, you might see him in a conversion van. You know, it's just a whole different change of identity. I got a few friends that's married, and they definitely changed the way they dress and everything.
Well, that's a generational thing. Like, the older generation, if you see the men that are single, you know, they're dressed kind of sharp, but they don't really care. They can pick up a shirt and put it on and go out. But once they got a wife, the wife made sure that he stepped out with iron clothes and everything was neat, so that when he steps into the world, women can look at him and say, that's a man who comes to work every day ironed to the T's. He has a wife at home. That's how they send you out in the world, so you know. Women don't do that anymore. They send their husbands out like, your clothes are over there. If you want to iron them, then you can. If you don't, then they're over there.
Oh, please, for the average female today under the age of 25, I wouldn't trust her to iron your clothes. She'll burn the house down. I mean, she'll be sitting there like, what do I do with? She's sitting up here trying to make toast on the iron and stuff. What are you doing? She doesn't know what to do with that.
Okay.
Please, a gas stove? Forget about it. You might as well call Channel 12 now to come cover the fire, because it's going to be just a minute.
Let's
go ahead and have last word, and I'm going to try to bring some more callers in a moment.
Well, what I was
going to
say is go on. I was just going to use an example to what Jason just said. I'm 25. I just taught a young woman who's 23 how to use a washing machine.
So, what does that tell you? That even in the house projects, they aren't even teaching daughters how to go to the washer too.
That is true.
Oh, was I mean or was I right?
Absolutely correct.
They don't know how to measure the detergent. I mean, she done poured half a bottle in there. Can't figure out the suds blowing out the top of the damn thing.
That is true. Like, they just don't know anything. Like, the mothers are not teaching them anything.
Wait,
and
okay.
As Chris Rock said, we're supposed to pick a wife out of the bunch, too.
Unfortunately.
Can I ask a question? Where are some of these women being met? And also in terms of, yeah, because most of the 25-year-olds I know how to use an iron. I think I'm trying to give black women some credit here. I think that's really absurd.
I'm a black male who is 37 years old. I don't know how Negus is close to my age, and I'm not sure how Bonnie is. He's in his 30s. Ma'am, that is not what she described. Some aspect of that is not the exception rule. If she knows how to cook, she'll know how to do clothes. If she knows how to do clothes, she'll know how to cook. If she knows how to cook and clothes, she doesn't know how to, well, I can't go into that. But cleaning is out of the question here. We got too much nagging going on. Like I say, I mean, there's going to be some, or she's not nurturing at all. That's the problem with the black woman attitude, is a woman is supposed to be nurturing. And today they have just totally discarded that. So all those elements that you need in order to have something that is wife material, it's like we got an employee. And, you know, you have an employee who does data entry very well, but they're not very good at problem solving. Or they're good at problem solving, they just don't do data entry very well. Or they do data entry and they can do some problem solving, but they're always late to work. So it's not just her saying that. That's not just her general opinion. This is a fact out here. Why do you think that you hear so many men complaining about these women cook anymore? It'd be different if it's just one or two guys, but you can't sit up here and discard all these fellas out here saying the exact same thing and then say, but that's absurd. We're not all out here just lying because it's fun to do. If we were getting what we wanted, we'd be going over and getting it now. Hell, I'd turn off this microphone right now. Well, no, not really, but I mean, I'm just saying. If there was a situation that easy, we'd be doing something a little bit different. I mean, it's not a figment of our imagination. That's like saying that the black attitude thing is, well, that's just you guys are overstating it. No, not really.
Right, it's really
but
not
I think a lot of it
all.
Well, one of the questions I have, though, is where are we guys meeting these women? Because while a lot of men who are making the most noise are complaining about women not cooking or being nurturing, the two issues I have is, one, where are you meeting these women? And two, what kind of guy are you? Because I've always been taught you are what you attract. And so if you're only attracting these bird-like females who can't even do their own laundry, then my question is, what kind of guy are you? And I'm not speaking about you specifically, Jason, but just in general. Like, quality guys I know are able to find quality women.
Well, we and I had a discussion about quality men, and we didn't get very far. So I'm kind of
can I comment on that?
Not we're going to go back to that, but I'll let Melanie and Vetnegas answer that real quick, and then I'm going to bring in some other callers.
Well, I can reply to say all I got to do is just walk outside. I mean, it's abundant. I mean, I consider myself to be a quality guy, and I do be around quality people. But, you know, when you out in settings, I mean, I'm just going to keep it real. My niece, my half-brother's daughter, just learned how to operate a stove, and she's 20 years old. I'm ashamed to say that, and I'm not lying. I'm not exaggerating. All her friends, her little crew is the exact same way. And I'm asking my brother, like, what have you been doing these past years? Your daughter don't even know how to operate a stove, and her friends don't either. So we're not making this up. There's not no exaggeration. What Jason is saying is very true. What you hear when guys are saying is not because we're just some dudes walking around with a white beater and Kool-Aid stains on our white beater and just drinking 40s or something all day. No, that's not true. But it's outside. If you go outside, you're going to see these type of things. Just live. I interact with all different class of people, and this is definitely relevant.
Yeah, it's true. I have to agree with him that it's when you walk out, because the qualities that women have assigned today for what a quality woman is are different than what men have assigned, because what men have assigned is the same thing. We want you to cook, clean, do the laundry, iron, the same thing. But what we're getting back is that we're supposed to find quality in your employment, quality in your education, and we're not getting that. Our qualities on what a quality woman is still the same thing from 1970, but we're not getting, we're getting post woman's liberation movement qualities from women. I'm a quality woman because I make $75,000 a year. I make $50,000 a year. I have a career. I have 2 degrees, and we're finding that we don't need you. A quality man does not need you to provide shelter for him. He doesn't need you to provide transportation for him. That's what your job does. But what he does need you for is the nurturing. What he does need you for is to know that the laundry is going to get done, the grocery is going to get bought, dinner's going to get cooked, and we're not getting that back. We're getting, I make $50,000 and I have a degree in technology or computers. I have a career. You should have quality over that. So it's this thing where you walk out and men who are of quality, who are looking for women of quality, are meeting women whose qualities are completely different from what they desire.
So my question, well, not a question, but the statement I made earlier that the man should be responsible for the bills, if you don't care what a woman brings to the table financially, and as long as she has the nurturing quality, she does the household chores, you know, she takes care of you and the kids, then my statement about him being responsible for the bills shouldn't be that far-fetched.
But that's what you're saying.
That's what you said.
Neil, I'm dying to ask you this question. If you feel as though a man should pay all the bills, right, are you willing
yes,
for that man the same thing, are you willing for that man at the same token to be able to dictate your income as well? So if you think
you
your income for all the bills,
What do you mean by dictate my income? I'm
can he use your, the money that you have, the money that you're saying extra, can he
yeah,
be able
I
to
said that
determine?
Earlier. It's the household money.
No, not
specifically.
No, because I asked this before too. If he's going to be, you're going to put it on him that he has to pay all the bills, then that means that he gets to decide how the household income is used.
Yeah, I don't mind that because I'm not going to marry anyone stupid.
Okay, now remember, I said he gets to decide that.
Well, I mean, obviously, I want to be consulted, and he's like, hey, babe, let's do this, but I don't want him just,
right. Now, do you
know,
want to
not
be
letting me know.
Or do you want to be informed?
Do I want the what?
Do you want to be consulted, or do you want to be informed? Because you informed him what was expected of him.
I mean, I would like to have some say, but ultimately, if the decision will be on him. But I would like him to know my opinion. I'm not a dumb woman, so I would expect, as my husband, and he considers me his partner, that he will talk to me about stuff. He's not going to just arbitrarily do whatever with the money in the household. I think that's just common sense, but I would expect him to at least, like, keep me in the loop about what's going on with our money.
Okay. We're going to bring more callers in here. I'm going to need someone to drop off here in a moment so we have too many people on the line. But caller from 240, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hello, everybody. This is Gwendolyn calling from Fort Meade again.
Hello, Gwendolyn.
Hi. I guess I'm listening to what everybody's saying, and kind of what I was, what I'm thinking about is, I had a conversation with a friend earlier, and she seemed to, like a lot of other women, I'm starting to see and understand, I guess, a little better, that I don't think a lot of black women really, I think they say one thing and do another, because they look for guys that don't have the qualities that they say that they want so badly. So, you know, I live right down the street from NSA at Fort Meade, Maryland, and we go to the gym. A lot of me and girlfriends go to the gym. There's a lot of guys there that are making great money, and they're smart, but I guess they're nerdy, or they're not the cool guy, or they're not, you know, a particular way, or they don't dress in a certain style or fashion. But then you have a lot of women that say that they want, you know, they want the guy with the money, and they want a guy that respects them, but they kind of really, they're up looking at the basketball players, you know, who have their little kids there watching them play basketball, or they're with their baby moms and stuff, and they're trying to strategize how to get with those men. But when you're on the phone with them, you know, I think black women are very confused about what they want and what they need, or I'm not sure if they're just being dishonest or, you know, so I'm, that's kind of my.
Well, I think it's that going off their feelings, what feels good right now, whether it's practical or not, just what do I feel? And if I can get a feeling, that's fine. That's why women are doing so much cheating nowadays, because feelings come and then feelings go again. That's what feelings do. They come and they leave. And you can't make a decision about your life when you're going off of feelings. You make decisions based on information. You don't make decisions based on feelings. That's your problem there.
Yeah, definitely. Because I got a lot of pressure. And I think I sent you a nice little note a long time ago, and just thanking you for a lot of the stuff that you say, because it's really backed up my the decisions I've been making recently. Because, you know, I have a husband, and he's considered a nerd, and I went through heck with family even and people that I knew, because it was, you know, people really tore our relationship down because of the kind of person that he is. And people weren't supportive. It's kind of like, you know, when you tease somebody because they're intelligent or smart or they read. And so I just got a lot of backlash from people, you know, well, you know, I thought, you know, then they tried to pick apart the way he looks or the way he speaks, you know, and kind of try to tear things down. And that's when I really started, it got to me for a little while, you know, and I tried to even try to change him, I guess, in so many ways. I'm glad he didn't, you know. But, you know, that's kind of a problem that I'm seeing with a lot of women. I think, you know, I'm not sure why so many women are not interested in, I guess, what you would call a nerd. I find a lot of the men like that to be extremely loyal. I'm not saying they don't cheat or run around or mess around or anything like that, I guess. But I'm just not seeing, like you said, I think it's a lot of sexual desire or emotion or going for the bad guy, but you really go for the bad guy when you're 15 or 16, maybe, you know, and you sneak around or, you know, sneak out the house, but you're not really going for that type of guy, I don't think, when you mature, at least you shouldn't.
I'll let Lonnie Nagus answer that, and they're going to see if I can, before I let them go, I'll go ahead and let you guys respond to that. Don't all start at the same time.
You can go first.
I think we all have our own experiences. I personally date someone who's considered a nerd, and so and my parents were very supportive because I grew up in a very anti-thug, don't date no hoodlum household that wasn't having it. So I don't. I mean, I guess that wasn't my personal experience, but I know a lot of people in the Black community may. In certain demographics, let me be specific, may look down on people who are considered nerds, whatever that means. It's unfortunate that I think some Black people who are not exposed to higher education think nerd equals someone who's intelligent or socially awkward. And I think you can be intelligent and successful without being labeled a nerd. I don't know. I kind of think it's sad that we have such a narrow view of Black people is two extreme dichotomies where either you're a thug or a hoodlum from the ghetto or you're a nerd. You know, you can be a personable, intelligent, well-rounded individual without necessarily being a nerd. So, yeah.
Well, it's a matter of what we have acceptance for here.
To me, it's,
go ahead, Lonnie.
To me, it's women have the bad boy complex. They just haven't been told over time if they grow up that date the good guy. They'll still have that complex on date the bad boy, date the jock, or right. Date that those type of men. But they will eventually grow out of that, and it usually is early on, early 20s or so. But when you don't have that don't date the thug on the corner from your parents or your parent in most cases, that you will not grow out of that, so you become 30 years old still looking for the cool guy because you don't have somebody telling you, don't date the cool guy, date the guy going somewhere with his life. And with that constantly in your ear, you would grow out of it sooner. So now you have a 30-year-old woman who's dating the cool guy, who's dating the thug, who's dating the bad boy, and not growing out of it. And you're wondering why she hasn't grown out of it. You grew out of it because more than likely somebody along the way in your teen years told you not to go for that guy. He still was attractive when you were 16. You still wanted to hang around him. You still wanted to date him. 18, you still want to date him. 20, you start to come out of it and you notice the nerd or you notice the guy that's going somewhere with his life and you come out of it. These women haven't gotten that connect, that disconnection, because nobody started telling them don't date those type of guys at 12, 13, 14 years old. So they still haven't learned it. And when you take it into adulthood, you're not easy to give that up. You're not going to give that up easy because now you're an adult. You can do whatever you want. You were forced to give it up at 16. You were forced not to bring home Pookie and Ray-Ray and them. So you did at 18, 19, but at 21, you start looking at Pookie and Ray-Ray and them and saying, you know what, you need to keep on moving because I need to go move somewhere with my life, and then you start to get it. These women are 30 years old, and they have all the adult freedom to date Pookie and Ray-Ray, and nobody ever told them you shouldn't be dating Pookie and Ray-Ray. So they still might have years if they stop dating Pookie and Ray-Ray.
Negus?
Okay.
I don't know what part of Negus sounds like Muse, but okay. Negus?
I just want to say this. Well, I think I've been a little bit on both sides of the fence. A lot of women right now would consider me a nerd. I'm kind of boring as far as my dressing. I'm not flashy. I don't really focus on name brands. You know, I got a goal, so those are the things I'm on. But when I was a knucklehead and I was into the name brand, I attracted a lot of different types of women. And women, all of them, most women that I've encountered, they all say the same thing. They want an intelligent black man. They don't who has a job and this and this and that. And when you look at the men they date, it's the complete opposite. When they talk about the boyfriend that they, or the relationship that they recently got out of, they complete the opposite of what they say. And then they say, "Oh, I want this." And is this something that sounds good? But most women, and let's be frank, most women do not like educated, strong black men. They don't like nerds or whatever way you want to put it. Nerd has a negative connotation, whatever. They don't like really intelligent men. They don't like to sit around and talk about intelligent things. I have conversations with certain women, and right off rip, I know right away what type of men they like because they don't like those type of conversations. They want to indulge in love and hip-hop. They want to talk about the latest celebrity, or they want to talk about something that has nothing to do with anything that's conducive to black empowerment or just conducive to themselves as far as business-oriented. They want to just talk about things that's just non-productive. So with that being said, they say things to sound good. They're pretentious. But they really do not like nerdy guys because they're boring, and they don't necessarily into all that flashy stuff that a lot of women like. And that's just being real from personal experience. I'm 32 years old. I'm just being real with you.
Okay. Thank you very much for joining us here, fellas. I'm going to go ahead and let you go at this time here. Go ahead and I'll bring in a couple of callers, and then I'll let you all. Well, Nicole, did you have anything else you wanted to say?
Yeah, I just wanted to add a little to that. What you're seeing now, especially when it comes to like the thugs and why a lot of black women are choosing them, but they say they want intelligent men. What they're really telling you is that they want a man with the same intelligence level as them. That's what they really are saying. Because what ends up happening is they get a guy that is a black man that is smarter than them, they become intimidated. And the reason why they become intimidated is because of the fact that we have, as black women, assumed a lazy culture. So if he talks about metaphysics, or he talks, well, I don't even say metaphysics, if he talks about something regarding biology, she will, instead of learning to keep up with the conversation, even if it's for the next conversation, they won't do it. They will write him off. and then usually as being class A nerdy. We just don't challenge ourselves. We don't, a lot of black women do not want quote-unquote intelligence. They just want someone with the same level of intelligence as them. So when you see them with the thugs, the bums, the losers, or whoever the case is, that's their intelligence level.
Well, in case of a lot in white women's cases, they don't want an intelligent man; they want a brilliant one.
Mm-hmm.
They throw, they find the absolute most staggeringly brilliant at all because they understand that this is a guy who is going to be able to show them things they've never seen. For black women, if everything is a competition. They compete with each other. They compete with their children. They compete with their sisters. They compete with their men. Everything is compete. And at the end of their lives, they end up losing. Is really what happens. They just end up losing at the end of it there. I'll let you have the last word, Nicole, and then I'll let you go.
Okay. That is absolutely correct. They compete. And the problem is they compete for the wrong thing. I remember this white guy that I went to college with. He was one of the popular white guys at school. Come to find out, he was really big with music. His guitar, and he's very big with philosophy. He's in a philosophy club. A lot of the white women that wanted him, guess what they started doing? They started going to the philosophy club. They started to pick up on things regarding philosophy subjects just so they can be able to interact with him. With us, we don't do that. We traded our brains for our vaginas, and we think, like I said, we wonder why we're getting so short. That's pretty much why.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, Nicole. We appreciate it.
No problem. Black first.
Black first. Thank you very much for joining us. All right. Let's see if I can bring, because I've been waiting for a little while here. Let me see. Okay. I think I hit the wrong button there. These things keep moving too much. I think I just knocked off Muse, I think. Or are you still on the line? Is that you, Gwendolyn?
I'm here.
Okay, yeah.
Gwendolyn.
I just disconnected Muse's call. Sorry about that. Muse. Caller from the 740. I'm going to get a couple of people in here, but first let me load the caller from the 740. You're on live with the Black Channel.
Hey, thanks for bringing me on, man. I waited quite a while, and I appreciate you bringing me on finally. I just say what's up to everybody. And I, if it's okay, I'd like to hit a few of the key points, themes of the show, if that's all right.
Well, first of all, what's your name?
My name's Tony. I'm in Ohio.
Hello, Tony in Ohio. What's on your mind?
Sorry about introducing myself. I was listening to the themes of the show, and I had some comments, right? So the roles of men and women in a relationship, like it came up, like the man should pay all the bills and all that stuff. I approach it like I do anything else. Like I look at it from outside looking in. I try to take a less myopic view and look at the grander scope. So, like, if I move in with a friend of mine, right, he happens to be a guy, right, and we move in together, we're splitting the bills. It don't matter that we make equal money or not. We split the bills. That's just the way it is. And if something happens where he loses his job, well, I'm not going to throw him ass out right away because, you know, he's a buddy of mine. So I'm going to try to help him out. But if he shows that he's trying to be a lazy parasite, well, then he's out, and I probably am too because I'm going to, you know, if we don't have a lease, I'm going to go ahead and move and get a place that I can afford by myself. So when I have a female roommate, the same thing would apply, right, because we're not sleeping together. It's just, you know. So at what point does sex change that dichotomy? I don't understand why if me and this female roommate end up making love and you know, deciding we're going to be together in a monogamous relationship long-term, plan to have children together, you know, we're talking 20-year outlook on a contractual agreement between two consenting adults. Why does that change? Why does the domestic situation in terms of finance change? I think it's sexist for a woman to look at a man just like it would be the opposite way to say that, my whole income, now, you know, I understand where she comes from, where she was saying, like, she thinks there should be a household income. I think she was kind of, I don't want to diss her because you just hung up on her, but it's like she was kind of, like, backpedaling a little bit, but also maybe, also she wasn't explaining herself real well from the start. But my point is that when you look at that position. What you know, you guys, with your interpretation, the host. I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name, but I know that you, your interpretation was my interpretation. I caught it the same way you did. I felt that she was saying the same thing that you thought she was saying. So I didn't feel bad when you started kind of, you know, going down that road of trying to put her in a corner on those ideas, and then she kind of sort of seemed like it was backpedaling. Whether it was backpedaling, and that's the appearance to me and you, or if that's really what she was doing, I don't know. She might have just mis-explained her ideas, but the way I viewed it was the same as you, and I felt, you know, how dare you say that I got to pay all the bills and then that your money's just extra? No. You got to pay half the bills, I got to pay half the bills. Whatever's left over, now that's community money when you're together. It's not community money when you're apart. That's the only difference between me and a female roommate and me and a wife or, you know, mother of my children, whatever. It would be just, once the money is all paid, the bills from both of us, we've split the bills, whatever's left over, that's now community money. It's not my money and your money.
So I guess it depends.
Go ahead, sir.
If you're going into a situation, the problem is what she was describing was not a marriage. A marriage is supposed to be a partnership. What she was describing was a symbiosis. That was not the description of a marriage. That is not two people who become one thing.
Sure.
If you tell this man he's the head of the household and then turn around and say that his position is dependent upon his income, or if you tell him that his to be head of the household dependent on his income, but that your income does not have an effect on whether or not you're head of the household, we're contradicting ourselves.
Right, that's how I took it too.
If that's why the income requirement is going to break everything else, because at that point you've destroyed your own argument. They're conflicting tendencies. Either I got this or I don't. You can't say I'm president of the United States as long as my approval ratings stay above 50%. President's supposed to be president
right.
by being elected, but now you're saying I have to remain popular to remain president. Either I'm here or I'm not. Either I'm in or I'm out. You're in as long as it's convenient. Well, then I'm not president. You are.
Yep, I agree with that. And that's how, I took it the same way you did. And the next theme that I would like to talk about was the bad boy thing, or what I call and other childhood problems, because what this is a manifestation of childhood problems. I mean, all girls like the bad boy for a little while, just like all guys like the pinup model for a little while until they realize she's a dirty you-know-what. So they're like, no, I don't want the scandalous girl. I want a nice girl who looks somewhat like that, but without the, you know, whole prostitution problem. So you got the bad boy complex. You got a lot of complexes. And for somebody that studied, and you guys brought it up right before you brought me on, which was funny, philosophy and psychology, I've studied both. And what I got out of it was childhood trauma always comes back in the adult form. So if you beat, rape, whatever, a child, or do it in front of a child, right, you don't even have to do it to the child. That kind of witnessing or being victim of abuse, neglect, abandonment, it always leads to several increased risk factors for children of all races, colors, whatever. And what you get is with lack of a father in the home, lack of play in nature, some kind of neglect, abuse, abandonment, all these different things, you're going to get lower IQs on average out of those kids. You're going to get, on average, more addiction rates when they're adult. They're going to be more drug addicted. You're going to get higher rates of violent crime from them, and also nonviolent crime is a factor, but the violent crime especially becomes high, especially among the abused kids as opposed to the ones that actually witnessed the abuse, although that can be a problem too. And you can just go down the list. And what you end up with is the only fundamental genetic difference between these children, male and female, is that it seems to be that women internalize the problems, so they make themselves a codependent victim more often, and boys externalize the problem. So girls will become suicidal and become the battered wife, or become the girl that gets cheated on all the time and won't ever leave. The guy will do the opposite. He'll become the beater. He'll become the facilitator of cheating and all this different stuff. So you end up with two people, because of their sex and their sexuality, you know, we're assuming everybody's heterosexual for this discussion because that's the mass majority. You're going to have these roles played out that they saw or were a part of in childhood. That's how it works. So you're not going to get away from, you know, a 40, 50. My mother is a good example. My mother raised me as best she could, but she was a codependent. And every one of her husbands, and there were multiple, they were people that beat her profusely in front of me. Right, so how did I end up not to be an abusive male? because I went the other route. But my risk factors were way through the roof, and some of my brothers have that problem. They hit their wives. You know what I'm saying? So that, and it's not conducive to a good relationship, okay? It's also very dehumanizing.
Well, let me see if I can pull in another couple of callers here. Did you want to say something, Mona?
I was going to say that I think the majority of single mothers have raised their daughters to be shot callers and to not take no mess and to not let a man tell you what to do because they've never had men in their lives. And the men that they chose to have in their lives didn't treat them correctly. And then, in opposed to the young boys that they have, they, because they don't have a man, they seem to make those boys their men. So we have a lot of role reversal. You cannot say you want a man and then want to be a shot caller. You can't do that.
Yeah, you can't say I want a man as, because a man is supposed to have a house. He's supposed to be chief protector. He's supposed to be chief disciplinarian. But then you want to say, but I want veto power.
Exactly.
You cannot say I want a man and at the same time say I want automatic veto power. Like I gave with the analogy of president before. Either I've got the power or you got it. But there's a reason why a car only has one steering wheel. There's a reason for that. There's a reason why it's only got one set of brakes, one set of accelerator, and one steering wheel. Both of us are not going to be able to do all this. Let me see if I can bring in caller from the 949 for a little while, too. I'm my board full here, but I'm going to try to get as many people as I can. 949, you're on live with the Black Channel. Okay, 949, it sounds like they've got an alien transmission coming through. Last time, 949. Okay, caller from 949 was transmitting from Mars. Hopefully their rover will get back here in one piece. If they do not, we will see them on the news. Caller from 480, you're on live for the Black Channel.
Hey, how's it going, Jason? This is Chris from Phoenix, from Detroit. I want to I think everything's been covered. I try to offer my own insight. Hello?
Oh, okay. Go ahead. I thought you were finished already. Never mind.
Oh, well, I'm finished.
You sure?
Jason, I don't want to sound like, I try to come in, when I call your show, I try to come in with this, offering something, like, okay, he hasn't covered this, let me do this, but I don't want to sound like, you know, I don't want to sound like an idiot.
That'd be kind of hard to do around here, let me tell you. I know some other folks broadcast that it's very easy to do, or at least it's very hard to sound like the biggest idiot on their broadcast. But around here, I like to think I got a pretty smart audience for the most part. But if we covered everything, that means we're doing our job. Because I think the most important thing to do is to actually have Black men and women sit down and discuss these things in a sensible, adult, mature, rational manner. What's happening is that, like, in the case of Mimi, for example, you've got an individual here who, and this happens to too many Black women, the majority of them, is that crucial 20-year phase in their 20s, everything is screwed up upside down and backwards. They either become baby mama or want to become one. We've lost the ability to make ladies of them, and because we have a single mother cult, that is, the federal government favors single mother households, not Black married households. And so we stripped away the manhood ability of them as well. Mimi is not trying to relive her teenage years. She's trying to relive her 20s, is at least what she thought she was supposed to be getting. And she hooked up with Mr. No Goodnick 5 years ago to get that favor and that esteem, because I don't want to beat up on her. I really don't want to. And I don't want people to take this the wrong way. I'm not taking a shot at her, okay? From the neck down, she's not bad, I suppose. She could be a lot worse. From the neck up is a different matter. And the reason why I'm saying that is not to take a shot at her. What I'm saying is I can see how this would be a difficulty in your teens and your early 20s. And unless you really got something really hot going on, if you don't have an emotional support system, if you're not the it girl. And I explained that in my video, Nerds versus Thugs, that most females spend their lives, if they don't come to grips with that it girl phase of their lives, they spend the rest of their lives trying to get it back. So she is trying to, just like guys who get money together, go off and go sleep with everything, if we're disciplined for the first 20 years, then they just go off and go sleep with everything. The females, if she feels like she should have been getting the job and whatnot when she's in school, she's going to come back and try to do that. That's what she's doing now. She's trying to go back and get those years back, as opposed to being content where she is in her life currently and make peace with that. That's what the difficulty is. The average, and because of that, she can't appreciate an intelligent black man, a mature black man, a sensible black man, because he would be a threat to what she's trying to do right now. She doesn't want intelligent and mature. She wants the guy who's going to enable her to get those years back. And that's why she got Nico. He's more her sidekick than he is her boyfriend. If you see that video of two walking on TMZ through the airport today, he looks like her damn sidekick. He does not look like her man. At some point, he was walking behind her. He does not remind me of a side of a man. He reminds me of a child. He reminds me of a teenager. He reminds me of a lackey and a sidekick. He does not in any way impress you as a man. That's the difference. I'll let you have the last word, Chris.
Jason, real quick, just to switch gears, I was having this conversation with one of the older guys that I work with. Do you believe that marriage is for a poor man? And it's not for a man who's rich, who can afford different options. What do you feel about that?
Marriage is for a man who has life together and knows what it means to be the head of household. I don't care how much money he has. I don't care how little money he has. Marriage is for the man who understands what he is as a man and accepts and takes his position at a household. Marriage is just like any other part of life. And you should go into it the same way. If you are not going to go into it like that, it's going to be a disaster. I've watched so many guys that have done things I would never do, married women I never would have married, but then again realize, oh, I've got more control than they do. Most men get into marriages today with absolutely no control, no power, no influence, no anything. They went in for love, and that is the worst reason you can do anything in a relationship is love. You will hold on to a job you should have years ago. You will hold on to a house you should have sold years ago. You will hold on to a car that you should have given to the scrapyard decades ago, all for love. Most men today married as a matter of love, as opposed to evaluating, is this the female that I want bearing my children? Is she equipped mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, psychologically to pass my values onto these children? Or is she that hoe over there? Is she that loud mouth over there? Does she have a couple of things on the ball and not others? We as men, particularly black men, we tend to chase two-legged stools and then can't figure out why we never had balance and kept falling our ass. And it's not because we want everything. Stop saying that it's want everything. I can't get everything I want, but I should be able to get everything I need. Because if I can't get what I need, this isn't going to work. And too often we put our wants in the place of our needs. That's where love comes in. I want great sex. That's a matter of love. I need a good life partner, and I'll take mediocre sex.
Damn straight, man.
And just understand, as a man, one of the things I had to learn is that with a female, that with her faults and her flaws, you have to learn to accept them. The ones that do not interfere with her ability to give you what you need. We have to learn, like the book, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. The problem is we as men, particularly black men, we don't know what's the small stuff, and we don't know what's the big stuff. Most black men do not know how to be a head of household, and thus they should not be getting married. You're not prepared for this. You don't know what it means to be the head of the household. Why? Because you aren't the head of yourself yet. You're not. You don't know what it means to gain power, wealth, and influence. You are not prepared to be the head of the household. You are not mentally prepared for this. But I want it. You're not ready. You shouldn't have it. As far as your income is concerned, if you're concerned about your income, get a prenuptial agreement and keep it moving. But most black men will not do that either because the female will tell him, well, don't you love me? Oh, hell, we're back on that again. He does not know how to be the head of household. That's what's missing. They don't know. They don't know what it means to be the head of the house. But he wants the house. Kind of sounds irrational like the females, huh? She doesn't know what it means to be wife material, but she wants to be the wifey. No wonder it doesn't work. A man who's not the head of the household and a female who's not wife material. See y'all in divorce court in 3 months.
Hey, Jason, man, I can't call back in. You just made me break up with my girlfriend. Black first.
Dude. You didn't break up. Dude, you didn't break up. That was already broke. I'm just delivering the news.
I'm just reporting the news.
Hey, I'm not going to tell you what to do. And, hey, if anybody out there listening, I told you this before, don't divorce your wife and don't break with your girlfriend on my account because I'm going to snuggle up with you. So she snuggles up and does all the little cute things in the shower that you like, swinging or not. Jason ain't coming to your house to snuggle up with you. So don't love here and break up with him because... I talked to Jason, and he said you should leave because I'm not going to come over. But what I am going to say is that if the company is bankrupt, stop pouring money into it. If it's bankrupt, just go ahead and let it file bankrupt. Stop pretending that it's not bankrupt.
Jason, man, you made me really look at who I'm with and what she has and is very transparent, and I got to say, you were on my night. So I appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much for checking with us, brother. Don't make the news, dead. I'm going to tell you. Chris, who?
Thanks, Jason.
Phoenix, where? Thank you very much for calling in with us, brother. I'm going to tell you right now, I never heard you. All right, brother in Ohio, I'll let you ask word here, and then I'm going to take another call.
What he said just fit into my last point. Remember, I had 3 points I wanted to touch on with themes on the show, and that was the third theme was evolution in relationships and how, you know, you get stuck with somebody. And it's because our species is not set up to facilitate all this emotional stuff that all of us are feeling all the time. That is there to make us breed. That is there to perpetuate the species. So when you get in a bad relationship with somebody and you think, well, I'll get out of it sooner or later, I'll get out of it, what you're really saying is I'm going to keep rolling the dice every time we do it and see if I'm going to get stuck with this here woman or this here man that really is not good for me and is not going to be a good person to raise my children. I don't trust them to raise my children. When I'm out of the house, I'm wondering, what is this person doing with my children? What are they teaching my children? I don't like what they're, you know, teaching my child to cuss or whatever the case may be. So there's a certain aspect, again, where we look at everything myopically. We look at it like, oh, relationship, emotion, you know, it's about this, it's about that. It's really all about facilitating us to perpetuate the species, to keep having kids. But you got to be careful, because if you treat relationships very frivolously, you're going to end up having a baby with the wrong person, and then what? All the birth control in the world, it's not 100%. None of that stuff's 100%. At some point, accidents happen. How do I know? Because the human species, most babies ain't planned, and it's been like that for the entire history of this species for 200,000 years. So I don't know how people think they're going to, you know, have a good life and have a good, happy family if they keep entertaining frivolous sex with all kinds of people when they're young and don't think about the consequences. You have to understand, promiscuity's fun, but it's not smart.
Well, that's, of course, that statement, though, is predicated upon the assumption that they actually want a family. Most people are chasing feeling. They think the baby will give them the feeling. Well, the man will give them the feeling. Well, the house will give them the feeling. The career will give them the feeling. And it's like you're not supposed to be chasing a feeling. You're supposed to be making a decision, but you're not equipped to make this decision, thus chasing a feeling. Thank you very much for checking in with us, brother. Please give us a call again, and welcome to the Black Channel. Let me grab another couple of callers in here. I'm going to try to get a couple of you. Caller from 713, you're on live with the Black Channel. Caller from 713, last try, you're on live with the Black Channel. Okay, caller from 713 is playing with their phone. Caller from 347, you're on live with the Black Channel.
347?
Yes, it sounds like you're strangling cats back there. Is everything okay?
I'm sorry, I did not press 1. I did not press 1. I don't know how that happened.
Okay, well, stop strangling the cats. Forget about pressing 1. That cat back there is catching hell. Is everything okay?
Yeah, I'm taking care of my cat right now.
It sounds like you put him in the microwave.
No. I'm doing worse than that, actually.
Well, okay, well, what'd she say? We caught you mid-pulling his tail, so I want to make sure he's okay.
No, what's that?
It sounds like he just said help.
No, I'm just taking care of my responsibilities.
It sounds like he wants you to stop the response. Are you a cat lady? Let's be honest. Are you?
What?
How many cats do you have?
I only have 1.
How big is he?
3 years old. It's not too big.
3 years. Human years or cat years?
Human years.
Okay. How did you end up with a cat?
How I end up with a cat? That's my son. I don't have no children, so this is like my child.
What happened? You had hopes. You had dreams. What the hell happened?
A cat is enough.
Okay, so you'd rather be with a cat than with a man? Seriously?
It's not a bad idea.
Because you said this is my son. That is not your damn son. That is a feline.
No, that's my son.
How old are you, ma'am?
34.
Come on. What'd you say?
Yes.
How
I'm 34.
Old are you? You're a cat lady at 34?
Yeah.
It's been 33 rough years, ain't it?
I mean, I'm not sure. This is a lot of responsibility.
I'm just saying, come on now. You're listening to the Black Channel, okay? You're one of my listeners. I got no cat ladies on my site. We're going to get you somebody, okay? We're going to get you a dog. Man. Wait a minute. No, that's not going to work. Okay, never mind. Forget that.
A cat is good.
This is why I shouldn't play matchmaker, because that would just be, I would just think that was a good idea. Oh, you need a guy with a dog. What could possibly go wrong, Jason? Like, well, they're both pets, aren't they? Let me explain to you the difference between kinds and felines, sir. You sound like such a nice lady.
You have to walk the dog. You have to walk a dog, though.
You have to walk a dog. Yep, you got to feed a cat. I have to walk the dog. Good grief. You're going to have to call back in so we can find out when you got derailed, okay? We're going to have to – we got to discuss that with you because – I was gonna find someone. What is your name?
Simone?
Hello, Simone. Are you on friends list?
Yes. I'm Queen of Swords.
You're what?
I'm Queen of Swords on Facebook.
Oh, my Lord. Seriously?
Yes. I'm the Catwoman. So what?
Lord. Okay. Because when you think about a lady, you're thinking like 400 pounds with a nightgown and slippers on, and she is the exact opposite of that. You know what that means?
What that means?
When you have a slender waist and you're a cat lady, that means you're crazy.
Oh, my God.
That means like you're like the shit from Misery, only you're overweight, you know, like you, it's 2 a.m, you're just standing over the guy with a butcher knife, mumbling seances to yourself. That's how we end up cat lady here. I'm trying to help you out, okay, queen?
Cat lady is just, no. I just have my cat, that's my son. I don't have any children, so the cat is my son.
Okay, are you willing to die with the cat?
with the cat?
Okay, listen
no.
to me. Listen to me. There is only one thing worse than being a single mother of a child, a single mother of a cat. Now, if you want to die single, you keep that cat.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Okay,
I don't want to die single.
Okay, then I suggest we take the cat to a kennel. But let me tell you, if I'm a man and I come to your house and there's a cat there, understand, all you're going to get is sex. That's it. And it's not going to be at your place because I don't want cat hair on stuff. So.
Oh, so you're trying to say I'm single because of the cat?
I'm not saying you're single because of the cat. You're single because you're crazy. The cat's just a product. But, hey, laughing. On this phone laughing. Anyway. My point is, what I'm saying is that in all seriousness, no, I mean, the only person
okay.
crazy around here, craziest person on this phone right now, trust me. No, what I'm saying is you are too young to be calling a cat. You are too young to be calling a cat your son.
Oh,
what?
Man, I should have never said that on the phone.
It doesn't matter.
In my big mouth.
Anyway, it wasn't like I could, it wasn't like I couldn't hear him on top of your head when you called in.
So yep.
You shouldn't have said anything. Yeah, because we couldn't hear the cat squealing behind you.
Well, I was just listening to the show and...
Okay, here's what I want. Everybody,
good.
She's on my friends list. Her name is Queen of Swords, okay? I want you all to go to my friends list and look her up. And I want somebody to liberate her from this cat fixation. Brothers,
oh, man.
Brothers... She has given up on men. Now, it's one thing for us to, it is one thing for us to lose our women to non-black men, but I will be damned if we're going to lose our women to a titty cat.
Oh, man.
Now, somebody is going to take this woman away from that feline. Somebody. Where's my caller from Ohio? Damn it, I hung up on him too quickly. I should have held on to him for a minute. I should have held on to him for a minute longer because he's like a he sounded like a psychologist to me. He would have declassified, demystified all this stuff for us. So I want somebody
boy.
To give me a call. I want somebody to get in touch with her and let her know, sister, I am here to save you from the kitty. I thought it was bad out there.
Oh, man.
I'm going to put you
now
back,
I'm
gonna back on
that.
Hold. I'm going to put you back on hold now. But
okay, thank you.
We have to stage an intervention. Oh, that was. We have to stage an intervention. We have to. We have to do something here. We have to. Mona, why didn't you say anything?
I'm scared of cats.
They're not going to jump a phone on you. You couldn't believe it. Sister, listen to me. This is not the way. This is not the way. Like, this is not the way.
I am terrified of cats.
You don't have to be terrified of cats. You just have to let her know, look here, I'm scared of cats too. Get rid of this damn thing. Caller from the 313, you're on live with the Black Panel. Caller.
Yeah, okay.
Really?
No, I'm looking up. What's her name? Queen of what? What's her name again?
Queen of Swords.
Queen of Swords. All right, man. Hey, actually, I was calling in response to the earlier female caller saying her income is the extra and the husband's is the bill. And I went through that with my ex-wife, and like I said, ex-wife. That doesn't work. At some point in time, a man's going to wake up and say, look, if you can't handle, take care of your responsibility in this household, then I'm taking all of mine and I'm walking. That's what I did. And if she don't realize that, even if she's dating a nerd or not, somebody, that person is going to wise up to her game and she's going to find herself, you know, on her own or by herself. So that con ain't gonna last too long. I mean, she was dancing around your questions and deflecting, continuously. You had to put her on a stand to get her to give a straight answer. But I've been through that route, man, and that's the kind of woman that's going to be alone for quite some time before somebody fall for that game. So that's what I want to get off my chest. While I'm here, it's 3 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast. Why are you people still up?
Because builders never sleep.
You never sleep. All right. Well, whatever works for y'all. I'm up because I got this fool above me playing the music as loud as hell. And
why don't you find Queen of Swords and then you can give her a call and say, "Look, I'm up. You up? Listen."
Well, maybe I just do that and see what happens.
Do something, bro, because she needs somebody to get her straightened out. She's 34 years old with a cat. This is my son.
Yeah, what is she, a bookkeeper for a living? That sounds like something a librarian would have as a pet and adopt.
Not at 34. You're supposed to be like 64 with the cat. You know? How'd you end up at 34 with the cat? She wasn't just raised around single women. She was raised around a bunch of old single women. The old, like, grandmothers, aunts, and PTA, folks who got kicked out of PTA. 40 years old with a boss.
Yeah, I think she must have passed over her high school years and went straight to middle age or something. But hey, to each his own. That shouldn't be too critical. But everybody got their own thing, man, and God bless for them. As long as they're in the straight and narrow and, you know, not taking away from the society, but adding to and everywhere they can, hey, to each their own, I guess.
Oh, I agree. Queen of Swords is a doll, don't get me wrong. So I was chatting with her the other day. I think that was her. So she's all about that stuff right there. I'm just saying, we got to get 100% because right now we're getting like 70% out of her. We're going to try to squeeze this other 30 if we can. So find on my list, brother, and just say, hey, look here, TBA told me to contact you. We're going to replace that cat with something.
Yeah, you know, some folks need need that human connection to add to that that life, and that's what you need. That, you know, you can only go so far with a feline, and I'm pretty sure there's somebody out there in this group, if it's not me, that'd be more to introduce her to something new, something different.
Wow, more said, if not me. Wow, you say somebody in the group, not me, though, but somebody. Wow, he got himself out there real quick.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a large group.
May I ask you a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
So you said that your wife said that she thought that her money should be extra. Did you know that when you first married her?
Oh, no, I got married young. You know, well, when I say young, got engaged at 23, got married at 24. She was 2 years older, so 5 years. Oh, no, it's almost 10 years later. She started playing that game. Well, you know, when the mortgage needed to be paid, and we both got car notes, she didn't want to contribute to none. She always got an excuse. Well, I need to pay my car note. Well, I need to come up with my money with something else. Well, I'm trying to get you to understand. There's two things we need. We need to get to work, and we need a roof over here. If you can't make those priorities, you know, then we got a problem here. When we were supposed to split the mortgage, and your half start off as being late, then not coming along, then there's the issue that the house of cards about to collapse. And she refused to comprehend that, and it was, you know, her money was hers, her checking account was hers, and whatever she put in that checking account was her business. Well, you know, when you're in love, and the love has to turn into practical life business, you know, what she did when you was in straight love ain't gonna work anymore, because you got a household has to be run like a business. If you can't keep up your end of the bargain, something's got to go. And I went. along with that house. So now she regrets her bad choices she made and realized that, you know, me as the head of the household, because I was the man of my house. I'm the one who came there and I'll say, okay, I love you. Let's get married. I'm going to build something with you. And I did, and I provided for her in the household. I got a home and a good neighborhood and kids in a good public school. But I guess that wasn't enough, so she slipped up and started to backslide and thinking I was just going to be everything and would let her do her whole thing. She even came to me one day. She stated she needed to go on a sabbatical with her girlfriends. I'm saying, what? No. One, I didn't know what sabbatical was. And two, when she explained to me she needed to go on a vacation with her girlfriends, I said, not in this world. Ain't no man going to let a woman go off on her own thing with some other girls somewhere. I don't know where they're going. Well, I guess they was going to an island. But
They were going to an island, all right. They was going to go meet a couple of Jamaicans and see if they can get their groove back, was what they were going to try to do. So that was pretty transparent.
No blue-collar working man going to do that.
Well, definitely. I thank you very much for giving us a call here tonight. And check in with us again, definitely. And get a hold of Queen of Swords and see if you can, you know, get more to the cats and bittles. Thank you very much for giving us a call, brother. Mona?
So when a woman is married, she can't go on vacations with her girlfriends?
What do you need to go on a vacation with your girlfriends without your husband for?
And then the men can't go to the Super Bowl with their homeboys.
The difference between going to the Super Bowl on a vacation. Super Bowl is one day. Vacation is I'll see you in 2 weeks. I'm going someplace for 2 weeks, but I don't want you coming along.
Okay.
Now, if your kids told you that, what would you think?
There's a difference between kids and adults.
Really?
Yeah.
You sure? When it comes to something like that? Let me tell you something. In your house, I don't care who you are. In your house, I don't care how old or how young you are. There are four words that mean the same thing no matter who it comes from. Don't open the door. If your daughter is in her room and you hear voices and she say don't open the door, it means the same thing at her bedroom door as it means at yours.
That's true.
Something going on in there that one of y'all won't find out.
I just find that strange, Jason, because I lived in Virginia for 10 months, and they wanted to know why I had never been married and how I traveled all the way to Virginia by myself. And that same conversation that gentleman just brought up about the sabbatical, the man from Virginia asked me, you know, do you think I should let my wife go to Florida to go see her girlfriend, you know, for the weekend? And I was like, I don't see a problem with it. And he told me that was the difference between West Coast women and I guess down South people. And he said she can go spend a day. And I was like, well, by the time she get to Florida, basically the dude would say hi, and then she has to get back on the plane. So it's different. I just saw a difference right there. And that's the only second time in my 53 years of living that I've heard a man say that. So that's why I was asking you.
Okay.
And you.
Let's try this a different way, okay?
Right.
Because marriage is more fundamental in the South, and it's harder to get divorced down here. We'll get divorced less.
Right.
Your situation with your husband is no different than your situation with your children. When children go over to somebody's house and stay for long periods of time, and they say, aren't your parents worried? And they say, oh, my parents don't care what I do. That's not any better coming from your kids than it is from your husband. If you are going off for weeks on end and he ain't suspicious of something, you are the one who needs to be worried.
Yeah, I understand
if
that. I'm just saying.
You should be worried if your husband has no problem with you disappearing for a couple of weeks and just it's like whatever. You should be worried about that. If he's just okay with that because your teenagers did the same thing, you would be like, oh, hell no, I ain't going nowhere this weekend. Y'all up to something.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't say a couple of weeks. I would be very suspicious for a couple of weeks. But I'm saying a weekend, that's
no, a weekend is one thing. You said vacation. That's like, you know, some weekend. That's a weekend at Bernie's. That's National Lampoon.
That's okay, so
for a couple of weeks. It's like, why would you want to be away from him for that? Couples need time away from each other. Don't get me wrong. They need time away because otherwise you'll just go nuts on each other. But at the same time, that's the problem. What? You're scraping something over there. One of y'all is fighting with your phones. I hope you get that straightened out.
I absolutely believe that everybody needs their space. I'm just, like I said, that's the second time hearing that. I've never heard that on the West Coast, you know, in that manner. And then he also said he paid for the bills. That's what the man in Virginia said. When she leaves without anything because I pay for the bill. So I guess that's a West Coast, down south, East Coast, different type of thing. And like my second time hearing that.
Well, like I say, some people may have different expectations, but that's something they need to think about. Because when people start saying things like disappearing, marriage being open, and stuff like that, our marriage, as we go and as we fly along, that should be something that should be concerning a person. That's not something they should really be comfortable with. Because like I say, I mean, once again, not beating up on your school, I guess I am. But once again, not beating up on your state, but like I say, this place right here that said no to gay marriage and then said yay to gay marriage at the same time. So it's, and threesomes, moresomes is the home of pornography in the United States. We got a little bit too much open-mindedness going on there. And I think maybe a little more narrow-mindedness might help. Because guys from up north and guys down in the south, we're not really thinking that we can just, you know, freestyle in our relationships like that. You talk to a dude from California, New York, and they're like, hey, I just do it how I do it. And that's the kind of thing that worries me. When I talk to them, those are the kind of reactions I get.
Exactly. Exactly.
Can I ask a question to the both of you?
No.
This is Gwendolyn. it's touching on what you said, and I remember years ago, my family, my mother, my father, my brothers, and a couple of friends of mine went out for graduation dinner and stuff, and so I think my friends noticed a couple of things along the way. Like, my father's the type of guy who, he walks behind the family. You know, if you're in the street or something, he makes sure, you know, and kind of puts, you know, his hand on my mom's back to make sure she gets the curve. You know, he kind of takes that position, opens the door, does that stuff. And I think my friend noticed a lot of that. And my dad always drives. Rarely does my mom drive when my dad's there. And they usually take his car. And I think my friend noticed after a while some certain things, and we sat down to dinner. The waiter, which was a young man, he approached my mother and started speaking to my mother just about something. I don't know if it was about the menu or, you know, something like that, but my father, you know, let him know. He said, he kind of interrupted and said, hey, you know, how you doing? Or he said, hey, something to that effect. And my friend mentioned to me, you know, a couple of my friends said, well, your dad is controlling, and he, you know, he's controlling, and, you know, he doesn't want your mother. He got mad because the man, you know, approached your mother and didn't speak to him. And I thought when my friend said that, I thought it would be clear when they said it out loud why my dad was upset. But it's like they didn't catch that part of it. They didn't even catch what they said the reason. So I guess my question is that controlling? Because I grew up kind of, and yes. I kind of expect that from you think that that's controlling?
I don't think it is. I know it is. You saw I answered it before you even finished the sentence. Is that controlling? Yes, it is. that's classic textbook. If your mother did the exact same thing, what would you be saying? Would there even be any debate about it?
If she was doing that stuff, as far as maybe at the table or something.
If your mother did the exact same thing at the restaurant, what would they be saying? Who was Tony Soprano's mother? I forget what they called her, but that's what they would be saying. Why would it be any different simply because it was your dad?
I'm sorry. I don't want it to come across the wrong way that it was a mean type of encounter or that he was was angry. I'm just thinking from the way that he raised me, and you know, I'm thinking that because to me, if there's a problem, if someone's husband has a problem with something I did or said, it's very different for a man to approach me or someone's husband to approach me. My husband doesn't get involved in my arguments with my girlfriends, and I don't get involved between when he's talking to a man or not, you know? And so I think that some men think that when you approach a couple, you know, if a woman approached me and my husband walking in this door, which has happened before, and spoke directly to my husband and didn't acknowledge me, I think it's disrespectful, and I think it's in a matter that you handle it as to if it's controlling or not.
I find it difficult to believe that they were at a restaurant and the waiter was only going to ask the mother what she wanted. I find that difficult to believe. In a world that runs on tips, in a business that runs on tips, I find it difficult to believe that he was really seriously, that was what he was going to do, was take your mother's order and leave your dad just sitting there. For some strange reason, I don't think that was going to happen. I think he was showing deference to the lady.
I think he was going to get around to speaking to everybody and asking them what they wanted to order. I think he struck a conversation and didn't acknowledge, you know, my father sitting right there, I guess. And I guess, you know,
or either,
I'm not
let's
sure.
Let's not say it like that. Let's not say that he was didn't acknowledge your father. Let's just say, like I said, that he was giving deference to the lady and was finishing with her first before he moved into the business of taking their orders. That's customer service. That's building a rapport.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me ask you this, because I found maybe I'm a strange woman, because I never went on a date with a man that took charge like that. So when I met this man at the restaurant, he was already there before me, and I caught myself being there early. So I actually had to present myself to him, and he got up, he gave me a hug, he sat down, and he ordered for us. And I thought that was very take charge, macho kind of type of situation. And I didn't necessarily see that as controlling. Is there a difference right there?
Well, I mean, in that situation there, she said was that he was having a conversation with the mother first.
Okay.
So there's
okay.
a difference. Like I said, that's why I said that he was talking to her before he moved to the business of taking their orders. Otherwise, okay. I mean, because that's, you've been in restaurants, you have some waiters who just run up, Matt, take your order. Well, hell, that's what they do with drive-through window at Wendy's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what separates Olive Garden from Wendy's? There's something that you expect there. What separates Red Lobster from McDonald's?
Right.
Welcome to McDonald's, Matt, your order. He don't want to build no rapport. He ain't here to converse with you. Emphasis on fast food. You go.
You're not trying to get a tip.
Exactly. Yeah. You go to a place where you're going to go sit down. He is giving you friendly service. It's just like when you call customer service. You remember the representative. Yes. Your name is Mona. Oh, your cable don't work. Okay. Are you with the box right now? As opposed to, hello, Mona. How are you doing? Oh, I'm sorry to hear that your box is not working here. Well, definitely I'm going to do everything I can to help you. How long has it not been working? It doesn't really matter how long it hasn't been working. In all reality, I work for all big companies. It doesn't matter. But that's
right.
Building a rapport. I'm trying to communicate to you that I'm not just processing you. I am
right.
Trying to relate to you as a person. He was trying to maximize tips by relating to her as a person before he moved to business part of processing her order, of processing their orders at the table. Otherwise, he could have just walked up with his pad. Okay, you want the calamari? All right, you want the linguine? All right, we'll be back in a little bit. So I can say, otherwise he could have just immediately just broke right in to take in their orders. That would have gone a lot more quicker and a lot more efficiently. But what is he doing to secure his tips and to give great customer service?
Okay.
Is it different if it was kind of like you said, the reverse or the other way around, if it was a female and did that to someone's husband? I would never and have never addressed a man and had a conversation with a man in front of his wife without looking at her. I've just never, that's just, that's complete disrespect to your face.
Well, it would be
disrespectful.
That would be different. I mean, because it's not like you just walked up to them. You all, your mother and dad came to their business establishment to eat food, to be served. So it's not like this was just a guy on the street walked up to a stranger. This is a employee of the restaurant who was serving his customers. And your dad had a nuance that was a pet peeve that was annoying to him. The young man did not do anything wrong. Your dad had a personal pet peeve that he didn't like. And that's where it gets into controlling. Now, controlling does not necessarily mean abusive. But it means just that. It means controlling. I control somebody. I ain't got to raise my fist, knock their block off, raise my voice. I don't have to do any of that, but I can control them.
He's not controlling my mother, though. I mean,
okay, it depends on what you mean by controlling. Talking. Controlling does not necessarily mean on a leash, is what I'm trying to say. Control does not necessarily – there are severe forms of control, and then there are minor, just little pricks, little yanks here and there. Mom doesn't drive anywhere. He has a heart attack and dies. What's your mom going to do? Because he's never let her drive. And that's how little old ladies grow up, not being able to take care of themselves. Because Richard used to take all this for me. That's right, he hobbled you. And he dies one day, and you don't know where the bank account are. You don't know where the bills are. You don't even know how to put the car in reverse. Because you learned how to drive when you were 16, didn't drive for the next 40 years. Figured, I'll never forget it. Got behind the wheel, put the car in drive instead of reverse, and ran straight into the house. Because you have to learn how to drive all over again because Richard has been taking care of it all this time. And even though he might have had best of intentions, it does not override what he did.
And I appreciate that point of view, and I understand that. And I do think that, you know, I may have control issues myself, you know, and I'm a lot like my dad. And I think that there is a boundary between, like you said, there's different types of controlling or making someone feel bad for speaking to somebody or, you know, I can understand that. And I didn't mean to come across the wrong way as though my mom doesn't drive or doesn't do those things. I was trying to say that when my dad is there, he likes to be the head of the pack when he's there. If we're driving in the car, my dad's usually the driver, you know. But my mom goes to work every day and been driving all her life, and so it's I didn't want
I mean,
it to
I
come
understand
across
that.
Like
that. I understand that, but what I'm saying is that when you are the man, you need to also understand that you are the man. You can't think you are. You have to know you are. And things like the restaurant would not have bothered him. He's going into a restaurant and demanding deference for himself when the waiter is giving deference to his woman, he should be happy that his woman is getting great service. Instead, he made it about him. Was what it really was.
I can see that. He did make it.
That was
for
his wife's benefit. That was not for the waiter. That was for his wife's benefit. That's what I mean by the controlling part. That was for her benefit, not his, and not for the waiter. That had nothing to do with the waiter at all. He was trying
so
to
if I reacted that way, it would be this. It would be kind of a controlling or that would be
This isn't some random woman off the street. You all went to these people as a business, and this is a part of what they do. And took offense at something that under another set of circumstances, a stranger on the street, has been understandable. You have to take this behavior into a place that does not belong for somebody who does not mean it that way, and you know they don't mean it that way. So that means that you are not responding to what the person is doing. You are responding to something else, that there's something else that has been violated here, and you're doing it for that reason. The only thing that could be is the person you came with, because the person standing over your table does not have a relationship with you like that. He is adhering to the rules of the business. You have brought something that has nothing to do with the business or what they do there, and insisting on that getting deference. Not on the rules of their business. What this tells us is this has nothing to do with this business or what you came here for. This is totally unrelated. You do it, your husband, your kids, your mom, your grandmother, Thanksgiving dinner. Don't let two women get in the same kitchen. It's not going to be a pretty sight. Somebody is going to demand that their little pet peeves and nuances and kudos be catered to regardless.
So, Jason, let me ask you this.
Okay, go ahead and ask that, and now it's another call.
You're married. You're in the checkout line. I'm in the checkout line. We're talking, and your wife runs up and says, "Hi, my name is Simone. I'm Jason's wife." Is that control or insecurity?
Both.
Okay.
Insecurity is the mother of control.
Okay.
You try to control that, you are not secure that you have under control.
Okay.
When you, that's what I was saying before. If you're the man, you don't have to do all that. I'm the man.
Right.
I know what I am. I don't have to make it clear to the waiter that I'm in charge. If I believe this, I already am. He was trying to show his wife that, not the waiter. The waiter didn't give a damn. You don't run nothing to a restaurant. We give you service, but we also reserve the option to kick your ass out. And if you mess the waiter too much, guess what? The man's going to come over and ask you to leave. And if you don't, police will come in and help you leave. But that's the point, is that you're not insisting on something that has to do with the business and why you were there. Did the waiter do something that he doesn't do with every other customer? He did something that he does with every other person who walks through that door. In that regard, you're not special. Why does this customer want different treatment than the others? That's because he's got some personal kudo that he is trying to have appeased. That has nothing to do with eating a meal. Got everything to do with what, how he wants his wife to feel about him. He's making a point to his wife, not to the waiter. The waiter doesn't care which one of you eats first. You leave the $50 tip, and he doesn't care for what happens. So you can't be doing it for his benefit because he doesn't care. And you know he doesn't care. And nothing you say is going to make him care. That's the difference. Your wife, she does care.
Right.
Found the source of our problem.
Right.
Sir, from the 949, thank you for your patience. You're on live with the Black Panel. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
I'm just listening.
Okay. Well, they waited all this time and they were just listening. That's a shame. I was waiting for two. Let's get, let's see here. Caller from 313, you're on live Black Channel. Last try. Caller from 313, you're on live with the Black Channel. Okay, caller from 313 is prancing around the kitchen.
Jason, do you think that we have topics like this where people can actually call in and really find out some great information that they're nervous that they, what they may say will sound wrong and they don't call in?
They may be nervous that they think I'm going to make fun of them, which in which case, you don't worry about that. Look, like I say, anybody who has not called in before, because you won't be able to call in here in a few moments here, but there's no reason to worry about that because you're among friends here, okay? The most important thing is that we as Black people, in particular, learn how to talk to each other, you know, because there's not very many places, there's none like this one, but that let us actually sit and speak to each other as people about what our real problems are. So don't worry about that. That's, you don't have to be intimidated about that. The only thing you have to be worried about is if we let this cycle of us having problems and never actually voicing what those problems are, that's the only thing I'd be worried about. But you don't have to be intimidated. You don't have to be scared. It's not that kind of party. It really isn't. And besides, because, Mona is here. She'll do your hair.
Because what I'm saying is if you were to pose this same question like on Facebook, then you'd have everybody talking. But then when it comes to pushing number one and voicing your opinion live on air, everybody clams up.
It's either that or they're playing with themselves because it's Friday night. One or the other. Sometimes I think it's deeper than that, but then again, I think, wait a minute, I just took a look up here on Twitter at all the thoughts. Yeah, they're just playing on the phone. I'm cynical, in case nobody could tell. Caller from the 414, you're on live with the Black Channel. Caller from 414, last try. We're on live with the Black Channel.
Hello, T-Bear. This is Willie from Milwaukee.
Hello, Willie from Milwaukee. Did I interrupt you in the middle of something?
No, I'm sorry. No, you didn't.
Sounds like you're putting together a picture puzzle.
Well, I was messing around on my laptop for a minute.
Oh, I thought you were doing plumbing in there at first. I was about to say, hey, me got some new rods?
Nah.
What's on your mind, brother?
Well, I wanted to say, listening to your broadcast, I remember when I first got married when I was younger, and it was due to feelings. And we really didn't sit down and discuss what each other's role was. She was my first. I was her second. Now, I was born in 73. I was a latchkey kid. So I knew how to cook and clean and do all the other things. So when she got a hold of me, she posed a question to me. She's like, do you expect me to wash your dirty drawers? And I'm like, no, I know how to run the washing machine and cook and all this. I didn't marry you for you to be my mother or to be my maid. I married you for different reasons. And when I said that, that kind of went over her head. And, you know, we went around and went around, and we didn't make it because, you know, we really didn't discuss what each other wanted, and we was missing a mark. And then when I got older, I said, you know what, let me try it again. So I got older, and I had a fiancé. And this time, you know, I'm a little bit wiser. And she was heavy into religion. I don't knock her for that. But the thing that came to me, if you're heavy into religion, you know, words hold power. And you should know what you're saying when you're saying to some, when you're talking to somebody. And she said to me, she talked to another pastor about me, and he told her that we were evenly unyoked. And she regurgitated that back to me. Now, when she told that to me, I was like, oh, we're done there. So I pumped the brakes. She looked at me like I was crazy, like, well, we could still be together. I was like, you just told me we are unevenly yoked. Anything after that, it's pretty much mute. Then I became the villain. I was like, do you know what that phrase means? And you're supposed to be one that's deep in religion. And I'm like, I don't understand what's going on. And what I came to understand was, you know, I look at females today, and I'm like, and I look at the brothers today, I was like, nobody really talks to each other about what they want. Everybody said, well, I love her, I love him, let's shack up together. Well, you're playing house. Nobody talks about who's going to pay for this. Nobody talks about, well, if I lose my job, you know, what is the responsibility are you going to take on? Nobody talks about, you know, the worst case scenario. Everybody wants to be, what's the new word today? Happy. I said, it's cool to be happy, but when the rubber meets the road, what are you going to do? And nobody has an action plan for that.
Well, that's because we refuse to face the world in a mature manner. We are still like Muse was, look at the world through the rearview mirror. We're looking at our parent situation and grandparent situation and trying to transfer that dynamic onto us, even though it no longer applies. It's obsolete. We need to sit down and understand that a woman isn't looking. People are not just handing off their daughters for a man to take care of her. A woman is capable of taking care of herself today. So you two have to sit down and make sure that you are both on the same page as far as what will our expectations be. And if you cannot have a clear, concise, easy to understand conversation where it's cut and dry, etched in concrete that this is what we expect from each other, get out of there. Don't deal in generalities. Don't deal in vagaries. Know what you're getting into. And if this person you're talking to refuses to speak to you in concrete terms about what's expected of you, this isn't going to work. Not even close to work. It's not going to work.
And I know when I was... I'm going to school now to, you know, better myself. And I'm at this semester, I'm taking 20 credits, which is kind of a beast. And so I'm in the cafeteria. Everybody that sees me in there knows I'm doing homework. And, you know, two young ladies came through there in the nursing program, and one of the girls said to the other girl, won't you talk to him? And she's like, no. Now, they didn't knock me because I was ugly or anything about that. They knocked me because she said I was old. So I was like, that's kind of odd. I said, oh, like, whatever. That's cool. But then they looked at the guy next to me with the sagging pants, and they start, you know, talking about him. I was like, oh, I see what you're doing. I get it. I understand.
Do you really understand, though? But do you really understand? What was the difference? Well, what was the age difference between you and him?
Well, I'm 40. He's probably in his 20s.
Okay, well, that's the problem, though. The problem isn't so much the age difference, though. The problem is that a younger female knows that an older male knows when he wants. That's the problem.
Exactly.
She knows that with you is going to be expectation and standards, and if she does not meet them, you've got options other than her. And you know you do. This young fella, she figures he's young and naive and doesn't know that. She's got to take her bets because she doesn't know for certain. The younger fella might be on point too, but then again, if I got a choice between the two, this younger fella is going to be more desperate for sex and doesn't have as many accomplishments as you. Thus, he will not know that he can do better. There's a difference between telling somebody they can do better and the person knowing they can. And in your case, they know you got more options. Why would she want to fight with you? How much control is she going to have over you? Not very much. You've been there. You've done that. She wants somebody who she can get part of their program. Not the other way around.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm an introvert. And when I do go out, my conversation usually go, hello, my name is Willie, and they tell me their name. And then they rattle off how many kids they got. And then they ask me, well, how many kids do you have? And I'm like, none. And then it's a long pause, and it's like, well, have you ever been married? I was like, yes, I'm divorced. And then it's a long pause. I'm like, then we get on, do you want kids? And I'm like, right now I'm 40. When the kid gets 18, I was like, that's not really what I want to do. I said, I don't see myself trying to wrangle in an 18-year-old. I said, that's going to be too much of a problem for me. I was like, I want to keep it moving what I got going on. And then, the communication starts to break down a little bit. And then we usually order food and then have a couple of drinks. And then it comes back up. Then it comes back to the family. And then she's like, well, do you like kids? I'm like, I love kids. But, I don't feel like I need any of my own right now. I'm like, I'm good.
Well, I mean, people are asking the question here, though. I think it's a good one that matters here. Are you talking to women in your age group, or are you talking to women younger than you?
Oh, in my age group. I don't talk to anybody under 35.
Even still, that's going to be a bit of a heavy lift, too, though, to be totally honest with you.
I'm kind of see that.
And I'm 37, but even still, that's going to be a bit of a heavy lift, because that 40 means something. It's not just symbolic. That 40 means something. And to the ears of 35-year-old, 36-year-old, that 40 means something. That 40 means that he's about, getting his life together. He's not going to be as flexible as, DeVarian over here. That 40 means something, brother. It's not just a letter. I mean, it's not just a number. It means something.
Should I say ease up?
I'm not going to tell you that either. You got to be you. I'm something you're not. But I am saying understand why you're getting the reactions you're getting. It's just like a black person walking into a redneck bar. They may never mess with you. They may all be Stone Cold Steve Austin. Even if he's a nice enough guy, do you really want to be sitting there listening to country music all night? Not trying to be offensive, just understand why you are getting. You asked if they can play some Kendrick Lamar, and they're like, Kendrick who? And not because they're trying to be jerk, but because this is where you've ended up at. Everybody's not malicious, It's not about people being malicious and whatnot. People do things in their own self-interest. And we have to just understand that a lot of the time their self-interest is not congruent with us. Not because they're a jerk or mean or whatever. They're doing what's in their self-interest. Or what they feel is in their self-interest. A guy in his 40s who's, you know, twice divorced is intimidating. To a female who's never been married before, because you're both supposed to be on the same level. You've got so many more experiences than she does. Not only have you gotten married, you've gotten married and gotten divorced and gotten married and re-divorced. So you didn't go around the block. You're doing laps now. It's very intimidating to someone who is working on starting their first marriage. That's intimidating.
Well, I didn't get married twice. The second one didn't happen.
Okay,
it was close, but it didn't happen. Yeah.
That's fine. I mean, but my point, though, is that when you've got way more experiences than somebody else and they haven't even begun to have them, you have an imbalance of experiences. That's intimidating them. Because now you know you have the upper hand in all this. Even if we got married, he's already been married before, which means he's not afraid of divorcing me. I could just wake up one day and he's just gone. I just have a letter on the bid. It's over. He's already been here and done this. I better think this over. I better think this over a lot. Varian. Let me see if I can bring a caller in here. Caller from the 210. You're on live Black Channel. Caller from 210, you're on live with the Black Channel. Caller from 210 is currently being accosted. Caller from the 718, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Good morning, Master Black. Good morning, my sister. This is Azami.
Izzo.
Yeah.
Dude, hey, I'm not going to lie to you. I was editing on my documentary here the last few days. Yes, y'all, I'm still working on it. Okay. Pulaski Skyway. You know the Pulaski?
Yeah.
Because it's on The Sopranos, I believe it is. At the beginning of Sopranos. I think they show it for just a couple of seconds.
Mm-hmm.
That old railing bit. But the Pulaski Skyway, I can't wait for y'all to see that.
I
thought all the old bridges were in Louisiana, the old rickety bridges that could fall apart. I thought they were all here in Louisiana. I didn't know you had them up there like that too.
And they're getting older and rickety-er, bro.
I bet you that'd be the last time that Volkswagen goes over. I bet you that.
Man, I'm glad to see that you're none the worse for wear, man. Yeah, it's been an interesting couple of weeks, bro.
Well, we're learning, we're growing, we're doing our thing over here. So let them weep. What's on your mind, brother?
Man, I ain't going to lie to you, brother. I was shocked when I saw the first After Hours. And I listened, man, that was some rich, powerful stuff. At one point I was crying. And I'm glad you're venturing into new uncharted waters. Nice. I just woke back up. It's been a long week, and I've been hearing the last by 20-30 minutes. Deep stuff, brother. Deep stuff. And I'm finding that dating and meeting people, it's very difficult when you're a man that knows what he wants and has accomplishments but doesn't have any baggage per se, or doesn't have any issues. There's too much game playing going on right now.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is that's what I was explaining, brother, before, that especially if you're a black man today, the women are just dragging baggage. They're dragging mommy issues, daddy issues. They're dragging emotional issues. They're dragging attitude issues, maladjustment issues, esteem issues. Hey, you want a wife? You know, and that's basically what you're running into. And the insecurities that their mothers help to instill in them, They are terrified of a man who has the option of leaving because they don't actually think that they don't actually truly believe in their heart of hearts that they can keep you. That's why black women are so quick to fight other women, because they don't actually, no matter how many times you tell her that you're the only one that you're interested in, they really don't believe you. Or should I say, not so much they don't believe you, but they are not secure in that answer. They just spend every day worried to death that they're going to lose what they got.
The saddest part was I was listening to when you were trying to help Stephanie, because I had to catch up, because like I said, it's been a while and a lot has been going on, and just with as you were trying to help Stephanie, there's a lot of stuff going on with our sisters, and it's to the point where I have to cry. And when you were talking about CJ, I was listening on the bus, I started crying. I really started crying, and then especially when you voiced your heart. Now, my thing is, unfortunately, what you said is very true. With my first girlfriend, who'd never been in a relationship and never had a man, everything was easy. We didn't have to fight. We were both virgins. We were both innocent. I was much younger. I was 26 years old, and she was 24, first loves. And we fought to stay together for years, but at the time, my family was not ready for a Nigerian dating an American. They weren't ready for that. They were scared of the American value system, because there's a lot of problems in American culture in terms of family origin and whatnot. In terms of American family values and whatnot, they were scared of the divorce rates. They were scared about the illegitimacy of the children. All these different things they've seen in other families. Even though we were the same faith and we had similar values. So they made me break up with her. And I was not mature enough to stand up for my woman. And years later, they're realizing, you know, that they forced me to give up a good woman, and they still regret it. Now, my last girlfriend, I didn't realize I was dealing with a woman that had a lot of issues and a lot of pain and a lot of stuff going on. And as a result, you know, nothing I can do was pleasing her, and everything. She questioned everything I did for her and everything I said to her. And it was sad. It was really sad. And when she just out of the blue switched up on me and dumped me, it broke my heart. I've never had a sister do that to me after spending so much time, money, and all that. But years later, I'm realizing that she did me a favor. And I couldn't understand it for years, but I understand it now. But it's tough, because after putting all that time getting in terms of this worldly value, I never slept with her. I never propositioned her hard for sex, especially because she told me that she had been sexually abused by the worst person that you can think to abuse a woman, her dad. It was a hard pill to swallow. But then when she told me about, I was with this person, and she talks two sides of her mouth. She talks the Jesus thing, but then she talks about, she wants to do this to me and do that to me. But if I even mention any kind of affection, she starts getting all skittish. I'm like, what's going on? But this is the world we live in, and I was only 6 years older than her. But now I was just passing through. Somebody says, she's still single. She's lonely. I'm like, she's going to be lonely for the rest of her life. She has issues.
Bring on the cats.
TBA, can I respond to him?
Okay. I'll let you respond, Gwen, and then Mona.
Okay, thank you. I'm glad that you brought that up and kind of brought some perspective into a lot of the things that are going on, because I know as a young black woman that at the age of 11, when I started developing, grown men my father's age were talking to me.
Oh, no.
This will be at the bus stop. This is rampant, though. This is all the time, everywhere. You know, then when you get a little older, and that's why I tell a lot of people, the mall is not safe for your children. I do not believe it is, especially black young women, and that's my opinion. There's men there waiting, you know, older men waiting for girls. So at a very young age, I think especially black women understand that men are looking at them sexually. And a lot of them may be looking for a father figure as well. So I think a lot of men or women morph that into one. And these men aren't showing you affection, like you said. I think that's a big problem too, because I've seen that a lot. And I think I've even went through my own phases where affection is something that if you don't get it, you know, it's just like a prostitute or someone or being, you know, having sex, and then the person wants to lean in and kiss, or they want to be affectionate or stroke their hair, and they're like, well, what are you doing all that for? That's not what this is. Wow. That's not what we do. And it's very hurtful. It's extremely painful to suffer through that and to know at a very early age that to get the men or to get a lot of men, or the men you think you want, that you have to be sexy, that you have to, and you don't even understand the boundaries, I think, when you're very young. And so I'm glad that you brought that, you know, that point up, because I think it starts very early, and sometimes it's terrible if someone has their father do that, something like that. But there's a lot of other men, uncles, stepbrothers, anybody around. It's very rampant, and I think black people, I think we ignore it a lot. We like to say other people ignore it and they don't talk about it. I think a lot of black people ignore that type of abuse towards women and men too, but you know, they ignore it towards women. And then when we see what happens when you do that, you know, we kind of just go straight to the hoe card, you know, and we don't investigate why black women are not nurturing or affectionate, you know, and why a lot of the problems that we have, a lot of us are very scarred, I think, you know, and that's my response. I appreciate what you said.
Go ahead, Mona.
I was just going to say that I've experienced that interrogation kind of love. You know, where you been, Mona? Went to the store, Mona? Yeah. You wore that work, yeah. So when you woke up, that's what you decided to put on. Yeah. When you woke up, that's what you decided to put on. And at first, like, it's kind of cute, you know. And then you're like, something's wrong here. And that's the type of situation that you have to get out of, because they become stalkers, you know. There's some strange people out here for real.
There's a lot of them there, but females are concerned. First of all, they shouldn't be trying to seek affection. The guys who respond to sexiness are not the ones you want to be getting attention from anyway. That's what I was saying before about other groups of women to look at something different. The guys who respond to sexiness, that's not who you want anyway. Nobody's teaching that. The other thing is what Zoe was talking about, females today know, they know push button lines, they know the talking point. They know the things to talk about and the things not to talk about. They know the things in their past that are immediate turnoffs and the ones that are not. And what happens is it's like a Rubik's Cube. We spend the first year, 2 years of our time with a woman trying to decipher what's real and what's not. Because everybody has a right to the things that they don't want to talk about, whatever. But there are certain things that we need to know. I need to know, me, myself, I want to know if your dad was doing stuff like that. Because if I'm in the house with somebody who does something like that, I want my damn children are around. Mm-hmm. You don't have right to keep that to yourself. Mm-hmm. I need to find that out. I don't care what piece you done made with it. I need to find this out. I need to find out if your mom used to shoot up heroin. I need to find out if she started drinking when she was a teenager. Because I don't want my kids coming around that. So you need to investigate. Another thing here, too, by the way, them Nigerians need to try to back the hell down, because we ain't got no child marriage in Brooklyn. So if we want to compare notes, now we can compare notes, but trust me, they don't want that. Let me see if I can get one more caller here. Caller from 313, you're on live with Black Panel. Caller from 313 is falling. Caller from 313, you're on live with the Black Channel. Yeah, I think he said no. Never mind him. All right.
I think I hear some breathing in the background.
No, I hung up. He said no. Okay, fine. All right.
Oh, damn.
You got it. What did he say? You want to talk? No. Okay. You took all this time just to say no? Okay, well. All right, you can listen to us on the re-recording then. That's what you can do.
Hey,
but they've learned the problem is they've learned the talking points, and instead of us speaking and relating to each other as people, we try to manage each other.
Yeah.
And what I've been trying to do is stop this management. That's why I told the brother when he said, well, should I change? No. Because that's not, man, you 40 damn years old. It's too late to change up. Forget that. Now you pipe dreaming. Just be yourself, man. Don't try to manage them. I change up. What you really mean is I manage them. Since they're not giving me the results that I want, what can I do to get the results that I want? Don't alter yourself. We spend so much time to manage each other as Black people as opposed to relating to each other. All this yelling and screaming and fighting and attitude issues, she's trying to manage you rather than just be with you. And it doesn't work. I mean, ultimately, it's not going to work. Like I said, it's just like during the first broadcast, we run up and try to grab all the money that we can off the table as opposed to just accepting that, you know what, an investment means not doing that. Investment means not doing that.
Mm-hmm. It means being there for the long haul and riding it out no matter what happens.
But we don't know what that is. We haven't seen that example either.
That's the thing. When you've grown up around that and you know what that is, anything less won't satisfy. And that's the problem. Because too many times, and this is what I've realized with the last one and a lot of people that I've tried to date, and it doesn't go past the first date or even a phone conversation, is people are too easy to give up when times get hard. Or they don't want to deal with tough situations. They want everything easy. And life is not easy all the time.
I want to ask a question, Jason.
Oh.
Oh. Because.
Defend rest.
I run across this. No, okay, rest. This is going to be a really good one. And what I'm trying to understand is they say about me, when I get with a man, I kind of disappear. You know, and I try to explain, well, that's what I'm supposed to do. I understand a mindset of a female that says her man is too clingy. He wants to be with me all the time. Because I'm thinking, weren't you just lonely and you were looking for a man now? He's too clingy. He wants to do everything with you. What do you call that?
We call that the human condition. We only want, that's just like a man right there, though, but then women are very indecisive. We only want what we want until we have it. We don't want it anymore. She wants the bad boy until he has her and runs. Now she wants Mr. Straight Lace until she has him and who's the first person she cheats on him with. Every single mother out there, I mean, too many of them got the same damn story. She had a bunch of kids. I know good Nick. She got with a guy who got something, and she cheated on him with what kind of guy? Exactly the same fella that she claimed she was running from.
Mm-hmm.
Happens every time.
Yeah, that's true.
If Mimi gets married, Mimi does not marry Nico. She's going to find some guy who's more straight-laced, but the whole gene is in her too much now. She was with a cheating guy because she's a cheating gal. He's nasty, and so is she. They're birds of a feather. They really need to be together, by the way, because they're both the same kind of person. They need to be together so they can just mess each other up for the rest of their lives. But unfortunately, she still have children. That's the damn sad part. But she's going to find somebody who's she thinks is on her level. Now, if he's a white man, she'll be obedient. If he's a black man, she'll be challenging him every day. And no white man's going to stick up with that. So guess who she's going to be with? And what's going to happen is she's going to get with a guy who's straight-faced. She's going to cheat on him with another Nico or with the current Nico or the other. That's the way it's going to happen. They want what they want until they have it. Then it changes. Eventually, they get mature. The problem is, unfortunately, today, black males do not want to get mature until they can no longer produce. By that, I mean, take a look at me. She's able to have, I mean, I don't know if she's still able to have kids now, but she is still able to draw male attention. Not very hard. She's still able to produce. And look what she's doing with years have gone into her 40s. Instead of her being grateful for this, she's instead trying to relive the irresponsible days of 20s. She's not being grateful that, you know what, my bait is not still at its freshest, at least the stuff still works. She's not being grateful that it's still working. She's just saying, hell, that means I got another 2 or 3 years to wear this thing out. Let me get the video camera. And that's what she's doing. And unfortunately, she is typical of black women, not atypical. Can we just be totally honest? She's typical of it. That's another thing that I didn't like when Mies was talking there earlier. Black men do not, when black women say that black men are out here doing X, Y, Z, you never hear us sit up here and say, well, where are you going? Who are you talking to? That doesn't sound like very mean. That might be an exaggeration. Never do that. We always just accept that, you know what, that's the situation. We never look for the exceptions to the rule. We never try to find the one guy that's doing things right, even if that guy is me. I never sit up here and point and say, well, I'm not like that. even Mahone did that night. Well, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't do that. Baby, we weren't talking about you then.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying is that's what happens with men. We don't do that. Even if it's not us, we understand the danger of looking for these exceptions. When you go looking for exceptions, what you're really trying to say, I don't want to accept the reality of the situation that we're in. That's why I want an exception, because I don't want to accept this. Instead of us treating this like hospital triage room and just saying, let us accept the gravity of these injuries for what they are. We want a second opinion and a opinion and a fourth opinion. That's the reason for saying, where are you going? She wants a second and a third and a fourth and a fifth. And she'll just keep asking for opinions until she gets the one that tells her what she wants to hear, as opposed to accepting the reality of what these men are telling you. Because here's the other thing, which you also learn, like your waiter and customer service, is that it doesn't matter what you thought. It doesn't matter what you thought. The customer interpreted what you thought or perceived what you thought, what you did this way. And I have to deal with the customer, with my wife, with my husband, where they are, not where I am.
Mm-hmm.
I got to deal with them, what they feel, where they are. And too often we try to sit up here and disregard what we're all feeling and what we're all doing, as opposed to taking it into account. That was something that I wasn't doing. And that's something that, after hours and whatnot, I'm trying to address that now. I mean, because a big part of me that just wants to say, hey, to hell with your mom and your dad. You're a grown person. You shouldn't be doing this. No mercy. But then I also have to understand that, you know what, they are the sum of their yesterdays.
Yep.
And while it's very easy for me to sit up here and say, no excuse, life sentence, that's really the best way to be doing that. Because even I just want to sit here and say, man, damn your problems. I got problems. Damn your problems. Who cares where they came from? And what we end up doing is that you never, and sometimes that is necessary, okay? Sometimes it is. But by us just saying, damn your problems, if somebody has a difficulty and they know that coming to you, the result will be damn your problems, then guess what they're going to do? They have no reason not to go back to Nico for that.
Mm-hmm.
They already know what they're going to expect from you. Well, he's just going to tell me, damn my problems. So at least Nico's going to give me a little help. At least he'll listen. At least he'll do what I tell him. Why should I go with you? You're just going to tell me, damn, my problems. You don't even want to hear what's wrong.
Right.
And I think that, I think there's a place for that. I think after we hear what's wrong, you need to shut the hell up. Either we get to a point of resolution or stop talking about it. So for me, it's been about learning, okay, let me go let you go ahead and get this off your chest and say what this is. But once you're done with that, I'm going to expect that we got a solution, a resolution coming. We're not going to be here for 20 years with you swinging from shower curtains. We're not going to do that.
You know, all of you, do you think that you have to lie? Well, I kind of guess I know the answer, but I found that when I'm speaking to different women of, you know, I don't want to say all or anything like that. We're not talking about all. But it seems like with a black female, and I'm not taking myself out of this, but it seems like with a lot of black females, you have to lie. You cannot be, or you won't be friends, or you won't be dating, or whatever it is. You cannot tell a lot of black females, like you just said, they'll fish around until they get what they want. And not only will they just say, okay, you know, thank you for your advice, they'll try to break down your advice and make you wrong about it, you know. And, you know, and it's like they ask you for advice about what to do about this, and you tell them honestly, and then it goes into being about your relationship. Well, you've been married this long, and this is it, you know, and this and that, you know. And so it's just kind of like you have to tell them what they want to hear, you know. And I think that's where the whole thing about the strong single mother came from. And I'm not saying a lot of single mothers aren't strong, and you know, but the thing is that you kind of, nobody is hearing that you say a lot about yourself when you become a single mother. And I kind of grew up thinking that a different way, that I always saw it as the man wasn't there, or the man trapped her or played her, or I always saw it as they were together in this, I just thought they were together in this relationship, and then he just dipped. That's how my perspective growing up was. But being older now, I see that there's a lot of different factors in the equation, and sometimes not many at all. Sometimes women are just doing whatever they're doing. But I think that there's a lot of denial going on, and I don't even think that black women admit a lot of stuff to themselves, and we say that they know what they're doing, and I think a lot do, but I think that some of them are so warped in telling themselves lies and hearing them from other people who are willing to repeat them, that I really think that they do think that they look good when they don't, or that they have a man who cares about them when they don't, because I think it's all lies. I think a lot of people's lives are it's all a lie.
Well, what it is that they've grown up in a situation where they've only heard one side of the conversation. They have never heard a man be objective about it. This is why we got all these fat chicks wearing thongs today and whatnot. And booty shorts. They're doing that because they've only heard from the Thirsty Negroes and Housing Projects. That's all they've heard from. They have not heard from something outside that environment. And because they have not had to do that when they actually leave the environment, then they try to hold on to the protections and the barriers that they have between them and the outside world. It doesn't work that way. And what they really end up doing is being this person who's drifting through life and does not realize that they're drifting. They think they're walking and they're not. They're just drifting. They're not even navigating. And that's the real point of it. You not be somebody's wife drifting, because sometimes he needs you to be his rock when he's not stable. And you don't have the ability to do that because you never were stable yourself. How can you keep him stabilized? The problem is that we have to, like I said before, we have to lie, what I call managing people. Sometimes managing people is telling the truth, but usually managing people comes from telling them or showing them what we think they want to see or think they want to hear. Instead of us just being allowed to be honest. That's why I told them, any woman who's up here and tells me that money doesn't matter, get the hell off my broadcast, get off my Facebook, get off my blog. stop. We cannot come to any resolutions as both or men and women if we're forced to lie. And if you sit here and lie, money does matter.
Mm-hmm.
It does. Don't sit up here and tell this man that money does not matter. Let's put our cards on the table and everybody just be honest. Men, money matters. Women,
yes.
Sex matters.
Yes.
It matters. Let's just put it on the table and be done with it. That way everybody knows what's expected of them. And we can have an honest conversation. Stop going to this white man's house expecting his approval to date his daughter. He's a member of the Klan. Stop asking a member of the Klan to lie to you. This man is never going to listen to Lil Wayne. You can strap him in a car. He's just going to go la, 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 la. Stop asking people to lie to you. Put the cards on the table. You can, my daughter, you can marry her, but I ain't never going to approve. He's put his cards on the table. That's all you have a right to expect. And we need to teach females that they don't have a right to do that, but black females have to be lied to because black females do so much lying. They meet a man deciding what lies they're going to tell him, what things they're going to tell him before they even walk into it instead of saying, here I am. Because they're so scared that if I tell him the truth, he won't accept me. Let it be what it's going to be like when Queen of Swords called in. What was that? Oh, it's my cat. Cat? Yes, my son. Your son? Yeah. How many cats do you have? Just one. That's all I can handle. How old are you? 34. I can only handle one cat. No kids, no men, but I can handle a cat. Hey, she just let you know what the deal was. I can't help but respect that. She just let me know what the deal was. Relationship, not unless it got 4 feet. What
wow.
more can I say? Hey, I can't help but respect that. And I let her know what the deal was. Now, you do understand, since you get on with cats better than men. Since you can only get along with men for a few hours, that means I'm only going to be here for a few hours.
Well, TBA, you mentioned earlier about a little earlier, and I'm tying this into what we're talking about now, but you mentioned kind of taking emotion out of some decisions, you know, and I totally agree, and I have I can usually do that pretty well, but if you're taking men and women are different emotionally, and I, you know, you remind me of a lot of people in my family, my brothers and things, and the way that you think and the way that you kind of, you're straight, you know, you think straight, I believe, or linear.
You got messed up brothers. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Need therapy, but go ahead.
My brothers need therapy?
Oh. Yeah, they sound like me. You need to get this some help. But
Oh, I get it. No. My brothers are highly, highly intelligent. And I noticed that with speaking to, and my husband too, when we got together, he told me the truth about things, and I did not like it, and I could not stand it at all. I could not stand it. I was like, you're rude, you're this. But then I started seeing, because I got married young, and I never really hung around a lot of guys except my brothers, but I started to understand really that men talk about certain things. Sometimes they keep it short. There's another way that men speak to each other. And I think women, you always, a lot of groups, you have to make sure you compliment or say something nice, or there's different. And I know Mona knows what I think she knows what I'm trying to say. There's a different vibe because there's a lot of undertone. It's just like an iceberg. What you see on the top is just small compared to what's going on underneath. Mm-hmm. And so I think that is a catalyst for a lot of the emotion and that other people are seeing. And that, of course, if it's in you, it's going to go into your relationship. And I think men like to sit down and say, what's the problem? Well, what are we going to do about it? Let's talk about it. But mm-hmm. women like to keep bringing the problem back up over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And it's and it wears. It actually wears her down, but it wears him down, and it wears your relationship down to a point. And I'm speaking from someone who has done this in the past. And even the best man, even the most loyal man, will walk away from a lot of that. You know, they're not going to take it. And to disrespect a man is insulting to him, definitely. And I think it hits their hearts, especially when you have a good man. I don't think insulting a man who really doesn't have a heart and doesn't care about anything, you know, I don't think he'll even know what's going on. But, you know, I just think that there's, you know, that's pretty much what I was going to say.
I understand what you're saying. And here's what we have to understand as women. Men are just natural problem solvers. They don't want to hear it was a bright sunny day. I had a purple dress. You know, I broke the heel on my shoe. Remember, Susie, you know, that I get to the problem.
Yeah, but I could talk to you about me, and you can talk to about that.
So often things are presented to us as if they're problems when they're really not. She just wants to unload, you know.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so then when he just says, okay, you need to do A, B, and C, she thinks you should say something real sweet and sugary and indirect and beat around the bush.
I'm sorry your day went that way, or can I make you some tea or something, or go ahead and sit down and rub your shoulders.
Somebody sits up here and says, you know, I got my, you know, dog and stuff, and my son really riding the dog. Oh, he was riding the dog again. He was just jumping on the dog. Whoop his little ass. No, you have to do that there. It's just, he's riding the dog. And then he was throwing crayons. Well, let me get rid of the crayons. No, you don't have to do that either. I'm just telling you what happened. Well, damn, I thought there was a problem with the dog crayons, and is here you go. So it's, but like I say, I mean, and men need to understand that too, to be able to recognize that kind of thing. But too often, your message is going to get lost if you keep burying that.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Whatever point you were trying to make, understand something. When you come, every day is blah, 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 blah. Tuesday, blah, 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 blah. One day you're going to say, I worry that you don't love me anymore. All we hear, blah, 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 blah. And understand you don't want that. When you say something important, you don't want it to turn into a blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
That's when you know she loves you, when she actually can relax enough to tell you everything that's on her mind, even if it doesn't make sense or doesn't seem to make sense from our point
you
of view.
You know what? Love me a little less. I don't need to know everything.
Hell, man.
I don't need to know everything that's on you. I really don't need to know everything. Like Nicolas Cage said in Con Air, please try not to share everything, because I don't know that. I will listen to some of it, but I don't want to be subjected to Isaac Asimov's biography. I just don't want that, you know. If there's a problem, tell me. I just want to feel like I'm reading War and Peace. That's all I'm saying. I mean, can you relate to me what the hell happened in 60 seconds or less? Can we do that, you know? There's a time for an extended conversation. There is. But when you are expressing your feelings, don't do that. Because whether it's a man you just met or a man you've been with for a while, there's time to unload. And unfortunately, black men as a group tend to spend a lot of time unloading and reloading.
Uh-huh.
And your message gets lost. Whatever you were trying to say gets lost. It really does. You know, like when CJ called in, she didn't get lost. Let me tell you, it's for a bunch of guys who were listening to her, it is hard for us not to respect her as a woman. He was saying all this stuff. Oh, I'm messed up, and all this stuff is wrong, and everything is bad. And we're like, well, damn, finally an honest one. She just put it out there just like it is. Hey, look, man, look here. I ain't even hiding nothing. It's like, well, hell, the last bow lied. At least this one's on the truth up front. At least it's different.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, well, hell, if you're like this all the time, you know, I'll catch you in between outbreaks or whatever the situation might be. But my point is, at least,
yeah,
I'm just saying, at least the point is, at least is this is a hell of a lot different than what we're dealing with. Stop trying to manage people, man.
I think we tend to try to talk to our men like we talk to our girlfriends. And that's the reason why there's a difference between our girlfriends and our men. Men are simple. Women are very complicated. Men are very simple. No. They just want to be quiet, eat some food, and feel some good loving, and they're good.
Well, you know, even in that, it depends on the guy. I get your point. But even in that, it depends on the guy.
Tell him, Jason.
You know, because those are baseline. What she just named, those are baseline requisites. I mean, you need all those. I mean, let me tell you, if you're a female and you want to make it hard for your man to leave, if she can cook, if she can cook well, if she's nurturing, and if she's got technical skills, let me tell you, he's going to be back and forth with you for the next 15 years. I don't care how bad it is. He's spending money all over the damn place. And I know because I've been there. You know, it's not that hard. The thing is that females, once they start realizing that the more easily placated that we are, as far as black women are concerned, once they figure out how easily placated you are, she figures, well, hell, that's an extra couple of hours that we can focus on me now.
And, you know, that happened in – I lived in Japan for a few years, and I noticed right away – cultural difference, of course – but I noticed that the way the women around the military base, I noticed things they did and the way they acted. And I used to tell some of my friends, my single friends, I said, you need to watch what these Asian women are doing. And they took it as, you know, I'm trying to tell them they don't know how to get a man. But really, I felt like I was trying to help. You know, I was trying to help. And it's not about getting a man. I took some of those attributes back to my house because I watched how the Japanese women were, how they treated their men, just the ambiance of what was going on around us. And when a lot of the American men like the Japanese women so much because the Japanese women, they make themselves presentable and, you know, they're there standing at the bar or the party, wherever you are. And like you said the other day to the young lady when you were telling her how to be sociable and you were giving her some tips, and she did those things and said, you know, they've opened herself and might do some little eye contact, but it's not no stare down, lying in the grass, sexual contact. It's like they just look at them or they let the man know that they can approach. You know, they ask him, can I buy him a drink? And the woman, you know, might lightly touch his arm and he'll say, she'll say, wow, you're strong or you're big. And they would just do little flirtatious and then they'd cover their mouth and do the, you know, and so they presented themselves as feminine and soft and young and flirtatious.
But that's because black women have confused being able to get a man's attention with being able to get a man.
I know you're going to go into that.
They have confused having the ability to get a man's attention with being able to get a man. The Asian females that you talked about, they were able to get the man with just their conversation. A black male's running up with a plunger neckline and telling you all the freaky things she's going to do. She's got only one tool in her box. It's a hammer. The problem is, you know, we've got Allen screws. The problem is we have bolts, and you brought a hammer. So guess what's going to happen to our Allen screws and our bolts? They know how to get a man's attention. The problem is, grabbing a man's sex organ is going to get his attention, but that is not going to get him and damn sure isn't going to keep him. These other women focus on what is it is going to get him, not get his attention, but get him and keep him. In other words, what do I bring that these other females are not bringing?
And TVA, you know, another interesting, I went to Korea too from over there, and it's totally different in Korea. In Korea, they have old women come out, not mama-sans, but that old woman that will be out on the street, and they will be telling you when you're walking down late at night the street, they don't tell women usually, but you'll hear them tell men, young girl for you, young girl, got a young girl. And I'm not sure if it was a very young girl or a teenager or I'm not sure. But they had a certain way of doing things. And in Japan, It would just, and I understand the money's different. Our money's not worth, our money's worth 75%, or a lot worth in the yen in Japan. Our dollar's not touching that. And so the yuan, I guess economically is different over there, that's what I'm trying to say. But even the way that their sexuality was so much different than in Japan, and the way that the women were a lot more aggressive in Korea as compared to the Japanese women. The Japanese women were very feminine and soft, very feminine and soft. And Korean women were probably a little bit more, they're submissive to their man, but a lot of them maybe worked and did different things and maybe just weren't so feminine. But I kind of thought it was interesting looking at kind of a microcosm of what we're kind of talking about. Then do you think that has to do with, of course, they're different countries, but is it culture? I mean, I don't know if Korea has always been like that, but now Korea caters to the American a lot. South Korea caters to Americans a lot. You can go there, buy anything. That's what the soldiers go there and do, buy everything there. In Japan, they don't have shops like that where they sell fake Nikes to you, where they do that. They don't do that there. Everything there is legit for the most part. And so I'm wondering if all that has to do about the value of the woman and how the woman is going to attract a man, or her methods of attracting a man. Because I noticed Japanese women did it in a very nice way that it really caught my eye, and a lot of men left the island with a Japanese woman.
Yeah, you have to understand.
A lot of American men left.
The Japanese culture is much older than the Koreans. They look down. All those cultures look down on each other, okay?
Yeah.
The Chinese look down on the Japanese. The Japanese look down on the Koreans. Everybody looks down on the Filipinos.
Yes.
So, I mean, they you have to understand, there's some, I don't think I'm using this word inadvisably, there's a vicious rivalry that runs between the Orientals.
Yeah.
So, that scene from Kill Bill where Pai Mei sits up here and upbraids her for calling him Japanese or whatever, I mean, that kind of thing is serious. They don't like that at all. I'm not Japanese. I'm Chinese. I'm not Chinese. Mm-hmm. I'm Korean. I mean, because you have to understand, I mean, like in Taiwan, for example, Taiwan is a breakaway state from China. You want to start a fight quicker than anything else, call them Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
And right now they're talking about throwing bombs at each other as we speak. North Korea, South Korea, talking about doing the same damn thing. China and Japan, oh, talking about doing World War II. They want a rematch, apparently, with nuclear weapons now. So, I mean, it's one of those things where getting into the culture nuances is going to be a lot different. A newer country like Taiwan does not have 1,500 years of tradition like Japan does. They're going to be much closer to what you expect in America, which is why they keep having fist fights in the Taiwanese parliament. You can look them up on YouTube. They have fist fights every year. I mean, fist fights. You thought it was rough and Compton.
Huh.
I don't think they've had I don't think anybody got clotheslined in the Compton City Council yet. But in Taiwan, it's become a public spectacle, an international spectacle. So, like I say, there's nuances that come into play there. Jan is one of the oldest and the most stable out of all of them. And tradition. Like I say, you need to go look up the history of Ieyasu Tokugawa and the Tokugawa Shogunate and how it enforced societal standards. The women and that culture come from that strict standard that was in place for over 200 years. And then the Caucasians showed up. So we went basically from the Tokugawa Shogunate to white people. And you are seeing the influence of the Tokugawa Shogunate to this day is what you're seeing there. China is a bit different. Mao took over to challenge Western imperialism. So they're going to be, a lot of their social nuances will be different. But in Japan, the women are taught to appeal a certain way. They are taught that their power comes from appealing to the man. From
exactly.
A man, that you become the queen of the house. And that is where your power comes from.
Exactly.
Not by challenging him, but by becoming a part of the structure. It's his house, but he elects you president of the house.
Mm-hmm.
This is true. This is true. This African culture, real African culture, is like that as well, too.
So do you think that I'm trying to figure out how to piggyback after what you just said, but do you think that a woman should? Well, I'll just hold my tongue for a second until I get my thoughts.
Oh, it's gonna cut you two off here in just a minute. So if you got anything else you want to say, you better hurry because it's gonna cut you both off. Gwen and Zoe is gonna cut you off here in just a minute. So if you got any last words, you want to get them in now.
No problem. Here's my last word. One of the things that's been really hard is the realization at this term of life, if I want to get married and have a family, it's looking more and more, if I don't travel out of the country to find a black woman, I might have to marry someone that's not black, because there's a lot of problems in the community. And to try to find someone on my own level that has no kids, that wants to be a wife, that wants to be in love and all that good stuff, and wants traditional roles, it's hard. It's really hard, especially to find someone that doesn't have, that can accept a man for what he is and can let a man love him. It's difficult. I don't know what to do. It's hard. It's hard to find even just sisters that you can just talk to on a regular basis that, you know, they can accept who you are and accept that there doesn't need to be a struggle. So I'm just trying to figure out what to do and even where to go to find them.
Well, I can understand your frustration.